This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez, CHI.
On 720 WGN.
Some people see the revolution, but most only see the girl. I can lose my hard-earned freedom if my fear defines my world. I declare my independence from the critics and the stones. I can find my revolution. I can learn to stand alone.
It is Tuesday night. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, and you are listening to the Patty Vasquez Show. As always, we hope that you are happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. And we would love to hear from you. Join us at 312-981-7200. Again, that number is 312-981-7200. And I'm thrilled to welcome in studio our very good friend, John Tatey. He and his mom do Pop Mom podcast, and you can catch that every week. Follow him on Twitter at John Tatey, T-E-T-I. Hi, John.
Hi, Patty. I'd like to register a complaint.
Oh, already?
Yes.
Okay. That was quick. You just got here.
At WGN World Headquarters, 303 East Wacker. I'm used to walking in and seeing a bunch of beautiful fish
they were
in the
gorgeous.
Lobby.
Weren't they nice?
And they're gone.
You know what I liked about it, too, was that they had like a curtain for the fish as well, like a privacy curtain
yes.
for nighttime.
You can find those fish at the shed.
So we're told.
So we've been told.
Yes.
Yeah, they apparently new ownership of the building. And the fish had to go.
Yes, I
oh, those new owners sound like ogres. They don't like fish?
Well, I believe maybe it's the maintenance. I think that there was David. That's David Jennings, by the way, in the newsroom.
Hi, David.
Hello.
Wasn't there just talk of perhaps a big digital board going up there? Or that's what I had heard.
I didn't even know the fish were leaving until I came into work one day, and I'm like, there's something missing.
It's shocking.
The tanks are empty.
It's startling. Huh. Tom, what are your thoughts on the missing fish?
Well, if they do put a big digital board up there, you know what they should play on it? It's
fish?
Like a fish screensaver.
Yeah, right.
Well, just for the sake of irony.
Well, actually, there already is a massive digital board already in the lobby.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes,
they don't
true.
Need another one.
Well, but that board doesn't face Wacker. It faces like toward almost like the turnaround drive. Like, isn't it face? Is it Columbus?
It faces Wacker.
It faces Wacker.
Does it?
Where
yeah,
are they? We're facing Columbus.
It's on the same side of the. If you're sitting at the security desk, you're looking at it.
Right. So that's Wacker.
So you walk
Columbus.
You walk
yeah.
by
yes.
it as you head to take the escalator downstairs to go through the pedway.
Okay. So perhaps they want to put a digital board facing Columbus then. Is what I meant. God, I do this every day in my house. My husband and I have arguments about which way things are.
I don't
that way's
I,
east.
I
don't think so.
I don't know.
No.
No, they don't where would but you've got all the entrances to the various floors. So they
right.
don't have a wide enough space to put anything huge up.
I have to
I'm
agree.
Sorry, I started this.
No, it's
we're
fine.
We're redecorating the whole lobby. Now.
Yes, it's all your darn fault.
The part you missed, though, was the sign, the very cheerful sign that said, hey, the fish are finding a new home. They're going to the shed.
Oh, there was a cheerful sign.
There
yes.
was,
that helps.
Yes.
They did put a sign up telling us where the fish went.
Mm-hmm.
I just worry about Patty, I always worry about the Yahoos down on the sidewalk, because we used to have the Yahoos. They could look at us.
Yes.
Right? Now we're in this beautiful Skyline studio. No complaints here. But the Yahoos at least could look at the fish. I could think about them down on the sidewalk looking at the fish. Now they
Trust
have nothing
me,
to look at.
They
yes.
weren't looking at the fish.
True story.
The fish were mostly for those of us in the building who work here. It was not for the public.
I think people stopped and looked at the beautiful. You're right.
No.
Right. The smokers.
No. Too busy.
Gave the smoker
sure,
something to do.
Right.
No.
How
no.
about the Swiss Hotel behind me? You can take a look at there. That's like looking at fish, exotic animals behind me.
Well, the
me.
first couple of weeks we were in here, there would occasionally be a member of the staff here in the studio gazing quite deeply into the windows across the way.
We it won't was, mention
and,
any
and
names.
Not, and not just at the Swiss Hotel.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot
there are,
of different
there are,
areas.
A lot of places
there are a number
to
of
look.
Interesting places where one can look, and there have been some stories of interesting See, things that have been seen.
This is what happens when people stop watching Rear Window on a yearly basis. They forget.
Yes.
They forget what happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was listening to Andrea and Dr. Stryker talking about people in high rises not being aware that perhaps they should close their curtains. But you know what? Go for it. If you're confident, you
yeah,
feel good
about
it. If
it doesn't bother you and you're not yeah. thinking about it, what difference does
Give
it
people
make?
Something to look at. Let it fly.
That's right.
There you go.
Let your freak flag fly.
Or just your regular flag. You don't have to feel freaky.
Whatever flag you got.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, speaking of Rear Window, which is a great film, mm-hmm. of course, by Alfred Hitchcock and starring Jimmy Stewart, a listener was kind enough to send me a copy of it because I saw it on the big screen, Nick D's Movie Club at Rosemont.
Oh, how cool.
It was very cool only because of my show. I had to leave 20 minutes before the end of the movie.
I remember this.
Yes, and I have a DVD copy. I just don't have a DVD player. So I'm stuck right now with I've got to find someone with a laptop so I can watch the last 20 minutes of the movie.
With an old laptop.
Yes.
Is that film available anywhere, like on Netflix
Well, that was the thing.
On Amazon?
I went home and I immediately looked for it at the time when we saw it at Nick D's Movie Club. It was not.
No luck.
But maybe things have changed because films get swapped out on all these digital servers. So, are you watching anything right now?
I'll tell you what I'm watching.
What are you watching?
My recommendation for this week, Patty.
We're there already. I love that.
I'm watching Russian Doll on Netflix. Are you watching it?
We're all very excited. Tom just got very excited. Yes, I am watching. I've seen every episode.
I'm catching up. I just started.
I've gone back and I've started watching because there's a lot that you miss when you're first watching it because you're kind of in it and then there are things that happen.
Not me. I started taking notes right away because I was like, this is going to be this kind of show. So I've got notes that's like, oh, this, you know, this animal, the cat showed up here and then like the pieces I'm keeping track. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Yes.
I'm excited.
I did not take notes or make charts. Yes, David?
I'm annoyed because of all the changes that are on the way, because some of my favorite shows are out the window, including Jessica Jones.
Yes, that's true.
That was announced. It was canceled.
It was a lot of
All of Netflix's Marvel shows are mm-hmm. gone because ABC owns them all.
Right.
So they're going to take them, and I don't know if they're going to keep the original cast.
Right.
Make any new episodes. I mean,
there's a lot going on, a lot of changes going on.
Yeah, and it's all because they all want to have their own streaming services. And it's like, guys, people are trying to cut the cord to cable.
I know.
You know?
Well, and a lot of...
just a thought.
Yep, a lot of people turn to... Well, now there's so many. There's Hulu, Netflix, Amazon Prime.
Those are the big three.
It's like
that we're back in the big three network era. Because mm-hmm. we have the big three streaming services.
Now you're going to have Disney, ABC... CBS has All Access. I think Comcast is launching one with NBC mm-hmm. in the next couple of years. So it's like, okay. And it'll be interesting to see how Netflix copes.
I agree.
Because a lot of the stuff that they have is going to be going away. Because, for example, all their Marvel content, that's Disney's.
Right.
And they don't plan on sharing it, I'm sure.
I'm not.
I've touched a nerve here with my recommendation.
No, David is sort of still in the thick of the mourning for a lot of the Marvel series.
It's grieving on the
air.
You're here.
Now, if those of you who watch have seen Orange is the New Black, you'll recognize the star of Russian Doll because mm-hmm. it stars Natasha Lyonne, which Tom Hush is a big fan of.
Oh, yeah. Yes. From all the way back in the American Pie days.
There you go.
What was that cheerleader one? It was, it's like something like, this can't happen to me. I'm a cheerleader.
That's right.
Oh, such a great mid-90s hit.
Good memory.
So good.
Well, and this is co-created by her, Amy Poehler, and now I feel badly that I don't know who the third woman is, because there are three of them that both created this, have been writing this, and producing it, which is an incredible feat, because this is wild storytelling. Layer upon layer.
Layers. I was just going to say layers, but very accessible. You know, Patty said a little earlier, and look, I'm only a few episodes in, so she might know better than I do, but I think I get the idea. You can watch it and just take it in. You don't have to take notes like I said that I did. I'm going to talk about it. That's why I'm taking notes. But just watch it, take it in, and there's all these details. And then it is, you know, it's so rich. There's so much to notice. You can go through the second time and see that stuff. The first time through, maybe just enjoy Natasha Lyonne's performance because she is, entertaining from the get-go. We just hit the ground running with this show, don't we, Patty?
Oh, no doubt about it. Let's talk a little bit more about it when we come back.
Great.
I've got to take a break. And 312-981-7200. We're listening to John Tatey's recommendation, what he's watching right now. What are you watching? 312-981-7200. Because when he's done with that, he's going to need something to take it down and like sort of reset the table a little bit. I'm just saying.
Tell me what you're watching, old or new.
I'm watching S Creek. More after this on 720. Everyone knows that. More after this on 720. WGN. You can't say the other word. Beep!
We're gonna have a DVD party tonight! Alright!
Well, apparently we enjoy television, all of us here at WGN Radio so far. John Tatey checking in with us and telling us he's enjoying the series Russian Doll. Tom Hush, you finished Russian Doll?
Yes, I did.
I finished it as well. I'm going back and watching a few of the episodes. Also introducing my friends to it and enjoying the fact that they all seem to enjoy it. So that's all good stuff. But from the 312, they are not having a TV party tonight because, since you asked, I've been sans television since 2011. Do not miss it. Entirely content. And a lot of people are like that. They just... I have a friend. Oh, you've met Charles Turk, Dr. Turk.
Yep.
He has not watched any television series. He'll only watch movies. So he does do some of the streaming services, but only to watch movies.
Oh boy, they always got to tell you about it, don't they? TV people.
Well, and he'll give you like a timeline as to when.
Always.
Yeah, so yeah. He'll tell you like what series, like something like that was crappy and it wasn't, TV wasn't going anywhere. But TV has changed so much since then. And I wonder.
It's like someone showing you their AA chip, except not impressive at all. I'm not impressed.
You're not impressed with the no television thing.
Sobriety,
right.
is impressive.
Sobriety is impressive. TV celibacy less. What else would you call it? TV celibacy?
TV celibacy. Yeah. I love that. Yes.
Yes. I have to agree, right? When someone says they haven't had a drink in like 25 years, you're like, oh, man.
Good for you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, my dad was like that. My dad, like, he wouldn't really tell you, but especially for me, when he would give me the numbers, I'd be like, yeah, that's pretty
my
good.
My brother. 20
really?
Years.
Congratulations
20
years. To your yeah. brother. That's incredible. 312 says, Patty, forgot to ask you earlier, do you watch Crashing on HBO? I do not watch Crashing on HBO. I don't really watch a lot of the shows that are about stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
One, I know many of the performers. Beth Stelling writes for Crashing. I'm not sure if she appears on it, which is great. I love that my friends are working. Pete Holmes, mm-hmm. I've worked with. It's just weird to watch a show that's about my work.
I don't really care for that show,
okay.
But I do love Beth Stelling.
Mm-hmm.
So now I feel bad that I don't really like the show.
It's okay. I love best-selling too, and I am very supportive of her work. I also never watched Dying is Easy. I don't watch The Marvelous Miss Maisel. All these shows about stand-up.
Yeah.
Like, even Seinfeld was kind of uncomfortable for me.
Interesting.
Yeah. Although, I mean, I know comics like him in real life, you know, where their lives are nothing.
Yeah. Can I ask a silly question?
No.
I always, whenever I had to force myself to watch Seinfeld,
uh-huh.
because I always looked at it, and the distinct impression it gave me was it was a show that was about absolutely nothing.
Well, beyond that,
is my perception off?
No, you're not. I mean, they even kind of at the end of the series, their finale was about how they're kind of all horrible people who aren't helpful and don't contribute to society.
I love it. That's the best part of the show. And then now you have It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which is just a continuation of that idea pushed to the extreme.
See, and that's another show that I can't watch. See, and I think that I feel like S Creek is similar. I don't know. I feel like S Creek is a little bit similar to like an older version of Always Sunny in Philadelphia. That's my sense of it.
Hmm.
But I've never. It's not fair of me to say because I've never watched the Always Sunny. But it's not a show really about anything except for this rich family that now has to live out of a motel in this rural city.
Yeah, but that's a story. Like,
it is.
Seinfeld didn't have, you know. And I'll say this is the line that has come up around Seinfeld, and it's a line that Seinfeld invented itself. You know, there's the plot line that you're talking about, I think season 5 or 6, where they're trying to sell a show to NBC,
uh-huh.
and George Costanza coins this phrase, it's a show about absolutely nothing, but it's a show about the fabric of our daily social lives,
right.
and the strange, you know, foibles and idiosyncrasies that just have cropped up around society. I think it's actually a very insightful show, but it is about stuff that we regard as insubstantial, but that I think is really matters. And I think that's why the show is so rewatchable and is, I mean, still booming in syndication.
Well, maybe this is a problem that David and I have. I just didn't really like it. And I liked Elaine to some extent and Jerry in some ways, but all the rest of them just did so many things that were reprehensible and I couldn't, like, I have to like my characters a little bit. I have to find something about them that I enjoy.
Hmm.
And George and Kramer and Newman and I just you know, I just couldn't.
You know the crew.
And the episodes that I remember, like the one where Master of Their Domain was amusing
a
to
classic.
Me.
A classic.
Right. But the episode where the woman dies because he had bought cheap wedding invitations.
His fiancé dies.
It's, yeah. It's so absurd and it's so funny. What a ridiculous premise.
Oh, my God.
And it's so good.
It's so uncomfortable. Plus, it's strange to me, too, because that finale is my friend John Panette is the overweight guy that they're making fun of.
Really?
At the end. That's John Panette, who has since passed away.
I'm sorry. Yes. I was just about to say, what an epitaph.
Yes. But yeah, he was, but John was, that's the guy.
In the finale, yes. He's the guy that they get arrested basically for making fun of the guy instead of helping him.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, which is kind of, which is cool. Yes. Which is a nice stamp on John's, I mean, John had a great career, but.
Yeah, I don't mean to diminish him.
No. I didn't take it that way. But anyway, so Seinfeld is one of those shows, like a lot of people hate Friends. They find though, and for a while, it was fun to watch again and again, but now I'm like, oh, yeah.
For me, it doesn't endure in the same way that Seinfeld does. Yeah. What are the most rewatchable shows?
Oh, good. That's a good question. Like, what can you watch over and over again?
Law and Order Special Victims Unit. Seriously, you just put that on, and like, I'll just watch an entire season of it, and I'll be like, oh, wow. Agent Stabler, you know, all these people are so good.
I'm with you, Patty. It really does not appeal to me, but there's a lot of people who I mean, that SVU is always on, right?
I for a while was like that with Criminal Minds, which is darker even. I mean, there are serial killers and they torture people. And I was all out on an episode where it was basically this guy, when they were done with these kids, they would put him in an oven. And I was like, okay, I'm out.
Oh,
I am out of the show. So yeah, but there are shows that you like, in your mind, it's fine to play over and over again in the background, like Gilmore Girls. I could play in the background. It's just like, oh, we're back in Stars Hollow, you know. Oh, and then I want to drink a lot of coffee and eat fried foods, but that's sort of the world of Gilmore Girls.
The Office, Parks and Rec. These are things I put on at night when I just don't feel like thinking.
Help you sleep?
I watch S Creek to sleep.
Yeah.
I've found that I find specifically Parks and Recreation is very soothing to me.
Me too.
Because it just puts me in such a good mood, because like they're all working together and they're all friends, and they just and then I'm like, ah, now I can dream sweetly of little Sebastian, and then I'm good.
Which one's Sebastian?
The little horse.
The little horse.
Oh, there's a little horse.
The mini horse.
Okay.
That they worship in this town.
Yeah. Y'all watch some very interesting TV.
What do you watch, David?
As a general rule, I don't do sitcoms.
Okay.
I don't. Well, I mean, I love Law and Order SVU. It's the only one that's left.
Okay.
I love Criminal Minds.
Yep. It's a good show.
You strike me as a Wire guy.
Oh.
I did watch The Wire.
Yeah.
I did get a kick out of it. And it was, and I loved watching Stringer get his.
Oh, see?
That was like, yeah. You deserve it.
I didn't start watching any sitcoms for a while. Like I took a break from sitcoms, and then Bleak Creek has been my favorite thing to watch. More
tough
in a moment.
Talk about on the radio, though, isn't it?
It's hard to talk about. Right. The show is clean. The title is just
troublesome.
We have to play David Player saying it, because apparently he gets away with it. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Tom Hush was giving me accolades from behind the glass for hitting the news on the mark. It is our new commitment, in particular on this show. I can't speak for any other hosts, so John Tatey, but we were all doing a little dance that I got to the news.
Right, I was excited. I was watching the clock.
On the money. So it was
to the second.
It was kind of exciting. I don't know that in my entire 5 years of being here, I don't know that I have achieved that moment.
Oh, sure you have. I've seen you nail it at the top of the hour, which is the crucial one.
The crucial one. There are a couple of crucial ones, tops and bottoms, but the most important one is the one right at midnight that I absolutely have to make for reasons that we'll go into some other time. But John Tatey joins us. He and his mom, Bonnie, have the incredible podcast Pop Mom, and you can find that anywhere you download your podcast. Mm-hmm. And you can subscribe to it and follow John on Twitter at John Tatey. T-E-T-I. And we are thrilled.
I'm excited.
Are you excited about being enlightened?
I'm excited, yes.
Oh, she's calming.
She is.
In studio with us is best-selling author Valerie Genghis. She is the author of Enlightenment is Sexy. And she was telling us something as she sat down about her dual. You have like two places that you basically have your residence. One in Colorado and the other in, tell us?
Fairfield, Iowa.
Yeah, that's random.
Of course. It
feels random.
It's super random. And when I tell people, like, yeah, I live in Fairfield, Iowa, they're like, excuse me? You live in Iowa? That's so weird. But it's really not. It's a group of people ended up moving from Santa Barbara to Fairfield, Iowa. They bought an old college and they turned it into MUM, Maharishi University of Management. And it's like a town filled with hippies, and we meditate together and eat a lot of Indian food and are super chill.
Amazing. See, now John and I saw the series, the documentary series, Wild Country.
So we're just going to go there.
When we think right. of when we think of people who'd want to take over a town, this is not what we're talking about in Fairfield, Iowa.
Okay, so Wild Country was like Fairfield on crack.
Yes.
I mean, we're definitely not poisoning people. Nothing like
good for you.
Sinister yes. is happening.
Yeah. Excellent.
It's not like that. But it is, you know, a lot of peace and love.
A community.
Yeah, it's a really amazing community. And growing up in Chicago, I didn't know something like that existed. But once I moved there, I was like, wow, this is beautiful to have all these people around you that care about you and can see you and understand you and want to talk about deeper things than, like, you know, just like surfacey stuff. So it's it kind of changed my life to live there.
When did you come to transcendental meditation? Am I saying that correctly?
That's right.
Okay.
Yep. It was in May of 2011. My mom had passed away that January at the end of the month, and she was my soulmate. She was like my best friend, and I really adored her. And when she passed away, I've described it as though like I died when she died. So I became really suicidal. I couldn't work. I was non-functioning. And someone suggested that I learn TM so I could sleep. I had a bad sleeping disorder too. I was a disaster, I guess. And after one meditation, I went from being suicidal to a state of ecstasy, and then I never looked back. My whole life changed.
After one session.
Which is not, I wouldn't say that's common. I kind of feel like I received a miracle. I mean, it really was something fantastic happened to me, but that is what happened to me. I learned to meditate, and it was like, boom, the lights came on. And within 2 weeks, I was working with Oprah. I was doing a lot of speaking. I all of a sudden was able to write. Like, all these gifts came out of me. And it was really because I kind of shut the hell up, went deep inside, and was able to get in touch with my true self.
In the sense that you learned how to meditate, on that, and you said TM, the transcendental meditation, was that something that was guided? Did you seek somebody out, or was this something that you did with an app? I mean, what was your first experience? What did that entail?
So when you learn TM, it takes 4 days, and you learn from an instructor. So they give you your mantra. It's a mantra-based meditation. And it does take 4 days because they really want to make sure you have it right. And then after that, you're on your own. You know, you just, you can have support for the rest of your life. You can go to any TM center and meditate with other people or get your meditation checked. But really, you know how to do that. And then you can meditate anywhere. I've meditated in the back of cabs in New York City. I mean, I meditate in my room just sitting up in bed. It kind of becomes like a part of your system and soul, and you just know how to do it. But there is instruction involved.
Is it one-on-one, or is it a class? You do this? I've been to a group before. A friend of mine, we were in California, and they're like, oh, come to this this transcendental meditation session. Even though I hadn't been trained, I just kind of like closed my eyes for 20 minutes. And it is weird when you're not trained. You know, everybody else sort of has this sort of technique or method or training. And the energy is interesting, was the thing that I was able to take away from that. You know, I felt like when I, you know, having my eyes closed and trying to, I was almost too aware, so it was hard for me to relax.
Right, because you felt like maybe people were watching you or something.
I'm like, what am I supposed to be feeling right now? Right.
Yeah.
That's the trouble I always have. It's like, am I doing it right? And then I'm like, you're thinking about it and you're doing it wrong. And how do you stay in that state? I know that's
training,
part of the training, right?
And I think it's the mantra that you use it as a vehicle to, like, you just think the, it's a sound. So you think the sound, you don't really put any effort into it. It's like the lazy man's way of meditating, right? So I always tell people, like, it's as easy as brushing your teeth. So you think the mantra and it carries you down. It feels like there's like an elevator inside of you, and you think the mantra and just down, 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 down till it's just a sea of silence, and you stay in that, and then you're transcending. You're going past the mind.
So you have the book Enlightenment is Sexy, which is available anywhere people want to purchase a book. And as well as your website
and Amazon
I always will let authors let me know. I want to make sure that they're sending folks to the destination that they prefer. So if Amazon is easiest for the, for those of you out there, and also the website is Valerie Genghis. That's V-A-L-E-R-I-E Genghis GANGAS.com, and you can you offer coaching. So is this something that you do first? You have a phone call and you talk to somebody, find out what is that first phone call like?
Just to make sure that we fit with each other, and we're on the same page and there's no false expectations or anything like that. And usually it's people come to me that are learning to meditate and are starting to have different experiences. Like, it can get kind of confusing because you kind of feel like you're in a different state and things start changing in your life and you don't know why, because you're not really doing anything, but you really are. So I think to help people integrate that into their lives is helpful.
Now that we've met, is it weird when you are like, let's say I wanted to call you and we know each other. Have you ever done coaching for any of your friends or people that are like, oh my God, I have to be coached by you?
Totally.
Okay.
I mean, because again, it gets kind of confusing, and I know that sounds weird because it's something as simple as just meditating, but I think it's good to talk to someone that's already been through it.
Oh, absolutely.
Because then I can say, hey, like, it's no big deal. This is what's happening. And then you have the knowledge and the experience all happening at once.
And you were mentioning that a lot of things seem to unlock for you. Because I hear people meditate, they set aside a certain amount of time every day. How often do you set aside time for meditation every day?
So I'm trained to meditate longer than 20 minutes twice a day. So there are times that I'll meditate 3 hours a day, but on the norm, it's 20 minutes twice a day.
I'm sorry. I was watching my producer's head just go, I'm sorry.
That's
what?
Awesome.
It is awesome.
It's very cool. I actually had a question about celebrity transcendental meditation practitioners. You mentioned Oprah, even people like Clint Eastwood, and someone that I'm a big fan of, David Lynch, the director who did Twin Peaks and Eraserhead and all this stuff. But I was curious if you think that if TM is particularly helpful towards creativity, because you have so many people that are in the arts practicing this, getting out of the mind. I just wanted to know if you thought it's helpful or can get you to a certain place.
Yeah, I mean, without a shadow of a doubt, I feel like it helps you bring that creativity to the surface and helps you execute these thoughts and ideas in your mind. So for me, again, I was in the restaurant and bar business. Like, I never thought about writing or speaking or doing anything like that. And as soon as I learned to meditate, it exploded out of me. And all of a sudden I could do all these things. So now I've been involved with like a lot of artists, and there's a lot of comedians for some reason that do TM. And it's
really Jerry Seinfeld's
Why do you
on
think
that
is?
List.
Yeah. Seinfeld's a big one. And like Amy Schumer, David Letterman, Jimmy Fallon, all those guys. I think it just opens you up and then you can create magic. Like, that's the way I see it. It helped for me personally. Like, I felt more limitless and like there was nothing holding me back. And I felt like I could really share my inner thoughts without being nervous that people would think I was weird or, I felt more comfortable just being who I was.
When you say that people find that it's freeing, what do you think it is that they're cutting through? What is it, the constant worry? Is it the things that aren't important? Is it being you mentioned whether or not I was in a session and maybe I was worried about what other people thought about me. That's not something that I have no shame. it's not, but I have other things. So it is the clutter, right? It's the other noise. Is it the energy that we are allowing?
I think that you get in touch with your true self. It's kind of like when you have someone in your life that can really see you, and it kind of makes you feel more open and you can be yourself. Well, this is like you're going inward and you're seeing yourself.
Ah.
And you are just more authentic and more calm. And everything flows easier then, I think.
Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, I'll ask if when you see your own self, can that be scary for some people?
Yes, it can.
I was going to say. We're talking to best-selling author Valerie Genghis. You can go to her website, valeriegenghis.com. The last name is G-A-N-G-H-I-S. is a Nancy, G-A-S. More with our guest when we come back. You can find her book anywhere you buy books, including Amazon. And John Tatey and I, maybe we'll just meditate during the break.
Oh, good idea. I need a mantra, though.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. I have to find out. I mean, can it be anything? We'll find out. More in a moment. Our guest, best-selling author Valerie Genghis, is enlightening us and talking about how we can find our true selves by perhaps practicing transcendental meditation. John Tatey joined us in studio. We're both fascinated. I feel like we're both people who are like, I don't know about this.
Yeah.
Well, because I've done it. I mean, my mother is very much into meditation. She was also in, and I read that your degree is in religious studies. Mm-hmm. So my mother was always sort of experimenting with different religions. And I remember, oh gosh, I hope she, Mommy, please don't be upset. I'm prefacing this with, it's my memory of it, Mommy, and I might be wrong. But she also tried Buddhism for a while. Mm-hmm. And I remember her having like the beads and the sort of little altar and Nomyo Krengyekyo, right? So you don't make that up if you don't remember that from when you're 7 or 8 years old.
Right.
And she would chant that. And, you know, we've gone to Kripala, which is a yoga retreat mm-hmm. in the Adirondacks. And she's always trying to find that. But when I go and meditate, like, I fall asleep sometimes. But
that just means you're tired. I mean, seriously, yes. It's that simple. Yes. Like, you're just tired.
Right. And when you say mantra, I think that John and I are both like, so every person has to have one that's specific to them that is there. Tell us a little bit about that process.
How do you choose one?
So you don't choose one. They will choose one for you. And it's, there's a, it's based on different things, but your teacher will take care of that for you. Like, you don't have to worry about it. They'll give you a mantra that's specific for you. And
for people who don't know, then when we say mantra, what is that?
It's just a meaningless sound that, helps you again. Like, it's just a vehicle that you follow in order to, silence the body and the mind and just settle down.
And it's not, do you say it out loud or you just recite it internally?
Yeah, just think it very easily. And when you meditate, like, you're probably going to think thoughts, right? There's no way you're not going to think any thoughts. I mean, you can get to the point where you don't think any thoughts, but normally you're going to think thoughts and then you just easily go back to the mantra.
Right.
It's super simple. It's like there's nothing complicated about this at all.
Well, that's so that's really reassuring, though, because like we were saying earlier, like you start thinking and then you know, I would always like scold myself. But it sounds like what you're saying is, okay, the thought's going to come and you just let it go.
Yeah, the thoughts, you can think of it like when you're releasing stress from your body, they manifest as thoughts. And there's no meaning to them, right? Like, it doesn't matter if you're thinking about ice cream or like your boss, like it's all the same. So you just let it go and you go right back to the mantra and then you're not thinking again. And it's that pure silence that you want, but you're not pursuing it. It just naturally happens.
Mm. Well, and then I'm guessing then that has an effect throughout your day then, if you are trying to think of, you know, if trying to clear your mind. Because one of the ways I was taught at Kripala was when you have a thought, you don't admonish yourself. You just go, oh, there's a thought. Sort of address it and let it go in a way. Mm. But we didn't have a mantra. They did like walking meditation mm-hmm. and that kind of thing too, where you're sort of, and I do that sometimes when I'm about to do stand-up comedy, I'll do that behind a curtain, which is weird because you don't want to walk into anything. But there's a question from one of our listeners. Again, we're talking to Valerie Genghis. She's written Enlightenment is Sexy, and you can pick it up anywhere you buy books, including Amazon, or visit her website, ValerieGenghis.com. The 815 asks, how about people with depression?
So again, for me, I, you know, was suicidal. So I don't know, you don't get much more depressed than that. And this lifted all of that from me. And I know I've worked with a lot of people that have depression, and maybe it's not instantaneous like it was for me, but it absolutely will help lift depression. I'm not saying don't go to a doctor, don't go to a therapist. Even after I learned to meditate, I went to therapy just to help clear out any past traumas. And, you know, I really wanted to face all my stuff. So I'm not saying don't do that, but meditation is absolutely helpful for anxiety and depression.
It helps. And that's, I like the way you put that. And, you know, it reminds me of, you know, a lot of people say, you know, exercise is great for depression, which it definitely is.
Totally.
But whenever I hear that, you know, there's a lot of people who, for one reason or another, can't really get as active as they might want to, can't exercise. And this sounds like maybe it's another way to burnish your health, your self-care is what
it's just
to
another
say.
Tool.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really see how it couldn't help you. I mean, you're living in a world where there's constant stimulation. You're like at work, there's screens everywhere. It's like going, going, going. And like when you just let your mind rest like you would your body when you're sleeping, you're healing yourself. Hmm. It's like it's so natural and it's so powerful at the same time.
I don't know if I can get into this one because so here's something she says: that everyone you meet is a mirror. It's part of your toolbox, and when you recognize you dislike something in someone, know that it's really about you. John, I'm with you, John.
Wow.
Once you identify your issue, then take the opportunity in that very first moment, if possible, to focus on what this might mean. Doesn't mean you have to like the thing. You could still dislike something about yourself, right?
Absolutely. Right. I just say like, listen, we're all going to have problems. We're all going to have pain in our lives. But I always say, like, go towards the pain, because once you face it and deal with it, it not only does it go away, but then you end up being stronger. So it's never going to stop. We're human. We're going to have these issues coming up. Just face them and be strong and deal with it. And you'll just keep growing and growing until at some point the good and the bad will all be the same.
It's interesting because I there's a book called The Artist's Way, which a lot of people swear by.
Love her.
I understand, but I get to like maybe a few, like I do the date with myself, and I do the, like I'll do the morning pages maybe for like a week or two. It seems to me, already looking at the first like just looking at your toolbox, like the assignments seem a little more consumable.
Mm-hmm.
There, I don't know, The Artist's Way. I've tried that thing. Like I've even done online groups.
Yeah,
I have started.
It's a lot.
I've done it like 7 times and just never been able to finish. Maybe we should do like on my show, we should just do the you know, maybe we do enlightenment. We'll do like a book club, but they're ones that are, but there's tasks in them, and then we'll do fun stuff. Maybe we have to do like a coloring book in between.
I mean, I right? always want to keep it easy. That's yes. just like how I roll. But
yes.
Because, yeah. you know, you got to be realistic about, like, what you can actually fit into your life.
Well, right. Like, honestly, I enjoyed, so one of the early assignments is taking yourself on a date.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and played pinball. I went to a museum. And then I have a life. I have kids. I have a lot of work to do. And so that went away. And then once you stop doing one of the chores, it, you know, you're like, well, I give up. But this seems like something that you can stay with. And by the way, I'm talking about her book, Enlightenment is Sexy. You have sort of landing spots along the way, your toolbox.
I think it's just like being aware, and once you know things about your life, you can catch them when they happen, and you're like, oh, okay, well, that's what's happening now. And you go on autopilot. Like, you know, I wrote a chapter that thinking is overrated. Like, I think you can get to the point where you're not constantly thinking like, okay, I got to do this, and then this, and this, and that. You're just like, you're in it. You're in the flow, and it's just, it's happening, and your intuition is leading you, and you're not overthinking everything.
We are talking to Valerie Genghis. We have to take a break here, and I'm going to see if you'll hang out with us. We're going to interview a reporter just a little bit from the Block Club Chicago about a uniquely Chicago feature, and maybe you guys want to hang out for the conversation. John, you know you're always welcome to stay as long as you can.
I appreciate it.
And so we'll figure that out during the break. And Paul has come into the producer's booth. Paul Farvar joins us. Apparently, you guys are almost the same age. I am so sorry, Paul. You probably should start meditating. More in a moment on 720 WGN. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. Joining me is author, best-selling author of Enlightenment is Sexy, Valerie Genghis. And I asked her to hang out with us for a little bit because I think this conversation is really interesting. I know you grew up in Oak Brook, and which is a suburb, and I don't think you guys have Paul, you grew up there as well. That's how you
did.
Introduced
We're
me.
Neighbors, yeah.
And you guys grew up probably. Did you have cul-de-sacs?
Did. Yeah.
I live in a cul-de-sac. Yeah, on a cul-de-sac. Yeah. Yeah.
See, I grew up in the city, and one of the great things about the city of Chicago is obviously the wide range of architecture. People know about our bungalows, but one thing I didn't realize was unique to Chicago are two flats. When my father was diagnosed with small cell lung cancer in 2000, the thing we knew immediately was that we wanted to find a way for us to sort of live in the same building to be able to take care of him, and we found a two flat that was built in 1920. 1926. The people we bought it from, the woman was born in that house in 1926. She had lived there with her parents. When they passed away, she moved in there with one of her, you know, with all her kids. And that's just what I knew. And I didn't realize that it was uniquely Chicago until Kelly Bauer of Block Club wrote a piece on this today. She joins us on the line. And Kelly, I guess I just didn't realize that people in the rest of the country have no idea what I mean when I say two flat. Tell us about this phenomenon.
Yeah, so there are buildings that are similar to two flats all over the United States, and I'm sure even elsewhere, but nothing quite has the exact features of a two flat, and even the term two or three or four flat is really only widely used in Chicago based on what we found.
And I wonder why that is. I mean, you know, because we don't call it, I guess other places in New York or anywhere that might have a brownstone or a graystone would say that they're apartment buildings. Is that what do they, I mean, is that the difference?
Yeah, so the similar buildings we found are, you know, things like row houses, brownstones, graystones, but that's what people call those. They don't call them two flats. So two flat is kind of this uniquely Chicago term. We've heard that maybe they also use it a little bit in St. Louis, but I mean, they are just all over the city here, so...
Yeah, they are. And some people will even turn their basements into garden apartments, which may or may not be legal. But we're not getting into that, Kelly. That's not the part we're talking about. I realize, though, that there might be neighborhoods, in particular someplace like Lincoln Square, where the property values went up and people are trying to take it, you know, get more out of their value for their land. Are two flats something that are kind of being phased out by some people where they're remodeling and turning them into bigger homes?
Yeah, so two flats have had a really important part in Chicago's history, but what experts are finding is that, especially since the recession, we've been seeing a loss of them, and that's because some people are turning them into single-family homes, and other two flats, the owners just couldn't keep up with them during the housing crisis, so now they're just in poor condition, and they're even vacant in cases, which means that we have a lot less affordable housing stock in the city.
And that's the thing that people don't realize when one of the journalists on Andrea Darlis' show earlier was talking about how passionate and one of the issues that he follows is the access to affordable housing. We were talking last night with Aldermanic candidate Erica Wozniak and the school building that was turned into condos in Uptown. Mm-hmm. This has really become a big problem, and I don't think people are really necessarily paying attention to it. And how does this affect communities when you kind of remove the ability for people to afford apartments like this?
Well, I think we've seen it in other neighborhoods, just some gentrification issues where people who, you know, for generations, their families have lived there are now no longer able to afford doing that.
I agree. And it's I think it really minimizes the kind of diversity you have in a neighborhood, not just and people always hear that and they're like, oh, we got to have some sort of quota for people. I'm talking about everything, whether we're talking about professionals or artists, students, you know, people who are or working class. Don't you think it impacts that negatively?
Yeah, we definitely do see just a huge change in demographics as gentrification happens. And yeah, you can see that in neighborhoods. People have talked about like Logan Square, where you are seeing a growing white population and a shrinking Latino population.
I love some of the responses that you got to, especially like when people show when you show that photo of that row of two flats. There is something inherently memorable when you see a movie that maybe has a street scene of Chicago. What kind of response are you getting from your Block Club followers?
Yeah. So we had actually, even before the story went up, we asked people about like, why do you love two flats? And just dozens of people responded talking about how it brings up memories of their childhoods, or it reminds them of, you know, how their parents grew up with their parents in two flats or three flats, or even just, you know, even if they didn't live in one, they remember seeing them all over the city. And so it's really cool to see that there is this great love for two flats and three flats and four flats, and a lot of it is tied to family connections and pride in Chicago.
And it sounds like some of them are also commenting about how much it also brings a sense of community, because you might have, you know, a couple families living in one building, and then you have a yard that's pretty close, you know, maybe sharing a common fence, and so you have the sort of communal aspect to it, too.
Yeah, I know my grandparents and great-grandparents owned a two flat in North Center, and that's where my dad and his brothers and sisters were raised, and that's where I spent a lot of time as a kid. And I knew all of the neighbors there. You know, we would talk over the fences, we'd hang out on the stoops, we'd play with the other kids there. It definitely does just provide a sense of community.
And go ahead, yes, Paul.
Oh, yeah, we didn't have that in Oak Brook. We weren't allowed to talk to any of the neighbors.
Yeah, that's the thing. Well, a lot of suburbs. Kelly, did you grow up in Chicago?
I grew up in the suburbs, but all my family is from the city, so I'm very familiar with two flats.
Well, not just that, but like in the suburbs, I remember the first time I really kind of experienced some of the western suburbs. My sister lived out in Roselle, and then in Barrington, they didn't have sidewalks. I didn't understand that.
It's true.
How do teenagers get anywhere? I mean, that's a component too, and the difference between living in the city and, you know, living out in the suburbs.
Skateboards.
Skateboards.
Yeah, it's skateboarding and bicycling, rollerblading. So we got it around.
Okay. All right, then.
It's a tough neighborhood, Oak Brook.
I don't know how you play hopscotch on your cul-de-sac. It doesn't make any sense to me.
We didn't play hopscotch.
No, yeah, there was no hopscotch.
Because you didn't have any sidewalks or foursquare. Did you ever play foursquare, Kelly?
I don't remember playing foursquare, but I spent some of my childhood in Wheeling where they did have sidewalks. And then more recently, because right after college, I lived in Prospect Heights for a while where they didn't have them. And it really did throw me, just the difference there and what you're able to do.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. We're talking to Kelly Bauer. She writes for Block Club Chicago. You can go to blockclubchicago.org. And if you're, you know, want to test the waters, I believe they have a deal right now where it's 2 months free to try out a subscription. So go to blockclubchicago.org and learn more about their great. I mean, they really do get down to the block by block and talk about the things that are important in the city of Chicago. And Kelly does a great job with so many of these different stories and everything. And there's such a wide range. You know, I'm hesitant to ask you your thoughts on the Jussie Smollett case. And I don't know, does anyone seem to have any idea as to why Kim Fox, why Kim Fox has recused herself from this case? State attorney?
The last that I saw was that she just wanted to avoid any possible conflict of interest. I think her office said it was possible that she was familiar with potential witnesses.
Well, see, because there's so much speculation on this case. It's one of the strangest things.
She was an extra on Empire, I think.
No,
it's possible. We don't know.
You're right. I mean, you know what? In
Kelly,
this case,
look into that.
You know what? At this rate, anything is possible. Again, go to blockclubchicago.org. This great story on two flats. Wait, are two flats only a Chicago thing? Why these uniquely Chicago homes have thrived for a century. One of the other aspects that I love, Kelly, is that it is great for multi-generational families, just like mine. You know, we live with my mom, so my sons get to grow up with their grandmother, and I'm guessing you hear stories like that a lot.
Oh, absolutely. And yeah, even like I said, like my dad got to grow up with his parents and his grandparents living there. And then when we visited, it was me seeing my great grandparents. And that's what we've heard from a ton of people, is just that it provided a great opportunity for families to stay together.
By the way, does this make sense? Maybe this is maybe the origin. I mean, did you find the origin of why they call it flats? Because a listener from the 630 said in Germany, they call all apartments flats. Is that perhaps...
I know that in parts of Europe that they do call apartments flats. I spoke to some of the historians and experts for this story, and no one knew exactly why, but they hypothesized that, you know, a lot of the times it's just two floors, so you call it two, and then flat for another word for like a story. So yeah, they were suggesting maybe that's why they're called two and three flats, but no one's really sure for now.
Well, it's a great story, and we're so glad that you brought it to Block Club Chicago. Kelly, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Tell people where they can follow you on Twitter.
Yeah, you can find me at Bauer Journalism. That's Bauer, B like boy, A-U-E-R, journalism.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Kelly. We look forward to talking. And someday we're going to meet in person, I suspect, right?
Yeah, oh, I hope so.
I appreciate that. Have a great night, and again, be well, and look forward to your next work.
All right, you too. Bye.
Thanks so much. Bye. More in a moment on 720 WGN. Our our numbers, 312-981-7200 here at WGN Radio. We always encourage you to join the conversation, and now we're asking you to join us because you could win a prize. We have a gift card from Lou Malnati's, and why are you pointing
at me? Just before we get into the game we're going to play, definitely call in because we're going to give that away, but the song that Tom just played, who sings that, Patty?
Think law enforcement.
Police. Oh, the police.
We've
got to feed it to her.
No. You got to watch.
I don't know.
You got to wait, Tom, until the guest comes in.
What song? I don't know.
So Lonely. It's by the Police.
Oh, I would.
My favorite
never,
band of all time.
I would. I thought.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought your favorite song of all time is Under Pressure.
Under Pressure by Queen and David Bowie.
Which I sent you a little GIF of for your birthday. GIF. Wait, graphic GIF.
Okay, sorry.
Happy birthday, Paul.
I didn't mean to. Thank you.
I didn't say it yesterday. Happy birthday to you.
You did it.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you, Paul. Happy birthday to you.
Sorry, I interrupted you discussing. We do need callers.
312-981-7200 for your chance to win a prize. We have two prizes, and you will win either way, and I shall determine that during the game. 312-981-7200. One is a gift card from Lou Malnati's, and the other is an indoor weather station.
And so, we are playing Everyone's a Lawyer, right? We're going to play...
Everyone's a Lawyer.
Is it legal? Where you have to guess. We just need two callers to essentially guess. We're going to have two fake laws and one real law. And those are the prizes. Second place is going to get I guess you're going to decide.
I will decide who gets what.
Val, you can play too if you want.
Yes, Val.
Val Genghis is not a lawyer, so she qualifies. You can't be a lawyer if you call in. So.
But she will help you to cut through the clutter of your mind to get to the
I feel like she'll be good
answer.
At this because she can figure it out through her TM ways. But essentially... it's Everyone's Lawyer. This is it real? We'll have two fake laws and one real law. And this is in anticipation of the show Everyone's a Lawyer, which is at Laugh Factory last Sunday of every month, including this Sunday at Laugh Factory at 7 p.m.
Excellent.
How's that for a promo, Patty?
And you can go to Paul F. Comedy. How many contestants do you want on the line?
We just want two.
Just two.
For
okay.
now. But.
So we will take the first two callers that we have on the line. First is Peggy. Do you want to screen her at all for this contest?
Hi, Peggy.
Hi.
Are you a lawyer, or have you played this game with us before?
No.
Okay.
Okay. You can play.
I feel good about this.
Hold on the line, Peggy.
All right, Peggy. Hold on the line, and we can stay right there. I'll lock her in, because that way we avoid losing Peggy's connection. Hey, Jim, how are you doing tonight?
Great. How are you?
Very well. It's wonderful to hear from both you and Peggy. Go ahead, Paul.
Hi, Jim. Are you a lawyer, or have you played Everyone's a Lawyer before?
I am not a lawyer, and I haven't played.
And you want to play the game. I assume that's why you called, right?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
You're from Hinsdale. Where in Hinsdale are you at? Did you grow up there?
No, grew up in Indiana.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Well,
all right,
Val and I are both from Hinsdale Central. We're Hinsdale Central alum.
Oh, there you go. And
That's correct.
And Peggy, did you grow up in Skokie? I don't want to leave Peggy out of this conversation.
Yes, I was born in Chicago, but came to Skokie when I was three.
Oh!
Fun fact here between these two callers, I lived in Skokie as well, Peggy, and I would have been a Niles West person. No, it's true. I lived in Lincolnwood in Skokie when I was younger.
Oh,
so
great.
Jim and Peggy, we both are connected in some way, so I hope one of you guys wins.
We're feeling the connection. I think it's the good energy that Valerie brings to this game.
It is. It is weird that Val has caused that. That's the two places I lived before I lived in Chicago, and yet both call it. Okay, we're going to digress. So here's how this works. I'm going to give you Peggy and Jim. I'm going to give you three laws. One is real. Two are fake. You are going to guess which one. You are going to take an educated guess as to which one is real. We'll keep track. The first one to get two right wins, I guess. That's right. Is that right, Patty?
One to get to two or three?
Well, we'll see where we go.
Okay.
We get a tie.
You're in charge of this game.
I'm in charge.
Right. Yeah,
sorry to bother you. Okay. So, Peggy, you get to guess first for the first one. We're going to go to Nebraska. Which one of these is a true statement about Nebraska? In Nebraska, you cannot eat corn on the cob in a cornfield unless you own or lease a farm. In Nebraska, you cannot eat corn on the cob in a cornfield unless you own or lease a farm. In Nebraska, you cannot get married if you have a venereal disease. In Nebraska, you cannot get married if you have a venereal disease. Or in Nebraska, it is illegal to sing songs with lewd titles in them at karaoke bars, such as Laid by James or F.U. by CeeLo. Which one of those is a real law? Peggy, you go first.
I would, I would say the second one, the second one you mentioned.
You cannot get married if you have a venereal disease?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Jim, what says you?
I'll take the corn in a cornfield. Can't eat it.
Okay. Val, what do you say?
I'm going with the corn.
Okay. What do you say?
Venereal disease.
Peggy and Patty are correct. In Nebraska, you cannot get married if you have a venereal disease.
Now, how much are they enforcing that one?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Maybe they make you get a test before you get married.
I feel like you don't do the due diligence on this once we... I have to start doing the research.
That could be a very subtle way of asking someone if they've been tested.
Yeah.
You could just be like, hey, can you get married in Nebraska?
Well played, Tom.
I like it. All right, continue.
I'm going to let Tom guess on this one, too, because. All right, we're going to go to California. Jim, you're going to get to go first on this one. In California, in an effort to combat childhood obesity and other diseases linked to sugar consumption, California requires restaurant kids' meals to serve water or unflavored milk as the default drink. In California, actually, okay, so did you get that?
Yeah. I'll take that one. I didn't even say the other two yet.
Okay, well, let me get the other two out for Peggy. In Silicon Valley, you cannot have more than 7 Facebook profile pages. In Silicon Valley, you cannot have more than 7 Facebook profile pages. And in Los Angeles, you cannot... as providers cannot do more than 4 facial surgeries within 30 days to a patient. All right. So, Jim, you've already said you've guessed yours. Peggy, which one are you going with?
I thought it was number 1-2 with the Happy Meal.
Okay. Val, what do you say?
Happy Meal.
Happy Meal.
Happy Meal.
You are all correct. So, Jim and Peggy, you are correct.
All right.
We'll go to one
30
more.
Seconds, Paul. Okay. You got to get a winner here.
Jim, you got to win this to tie. Let's go to...
Bill, let's go twice in a row?
Well, Peggy's won. Peggy's got two. Jim's got one.
Okay.
All right. This is...
Can I get a point for giving you breaking news from him, Phil?
That's true. What's the breaking news, Jim?
Your high school superintendent just resigned right before the referendum for the new high school.
Oh, wow. So we didn't know that.
Yeah, breaking news.
Okay, we'll get to that. We don't have time to get to that. We're going to go to Colorado. In Colorado, it's illegal to smoke cigarettes or e-cigs while driving. Or in Denver, if you name your child John or Elway, you get free tickets to the Denver Broncos home opener the following year. Or gummy bears or other playfully shaped pot edibles are banned in Colorado, even though recreational marijuana has been illegal.
What do you think? What do you think, Bill? Jim, what do you think?
It's the gummy bears. They're legal.
Okay.
Just tell them if it's right or wrong.
Peggy, what do you say?
I would say with the number 1-1.
Jim, you are correct.
Okay, it's a tie?
Yeah.
All right, let me figure this out.
She was wrong. She said the cigars won, so Jim won.
Yeah, but it's 2-2.
Oh.
More for this on 720 WGN. For those of you who love movies, you know that the Academy Awards are this Sunday, February 24th. You might also know that this is a pretty unique and historic Academy Awards in several ways. But what I am fascinated by is the fact that our guest on the line right now, April Rain, is going to be at the Academy Awards. She created the hashtag OscarSoWhite several years ago. People kind of, in the back of your mind, you're like, there's a lot of white people up there. And maybe it wasn't something you were talking about. And April really brought this to the forefront. April, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Are you excited about this incredible adventure you're about to go on?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on tonight.
I am so thrilled. I tried reaching out at the last minute last week. I know that you are very busy. I was following your tweets. I follow your tweets quite a bit. And I was following your conversation about the Grammys. And, of course, now we're heading into the Oscars. What are your thoughts when it comes to this kind of, award season and what it means to diversity and culture in our country?
Well, I think that we definitely have a long way to go, and yet we still have seen some incremental progress. But here we are in 2019, and we're still talking about firsts. right?
Yes.
And so that means that the conversation needs to continue. It's not just with respect to race, but also sexual orientation, gender identity, disability, indigenous people. Everyone should have an opportunity to see themselves reflected in music, on stage, and on the big screen.
Well, and people would say, well, you know, if something's good, it doesn't matter what their race or gender or, you know, disability, their ability. If someone does it well, there's no reason why we shouldn't celebrate it. But there are so many different steps along the way to get a project off the ground. The people that the gatekeepers in many aspects. Wouldn't you say that's part of the problem with Hollywood and the music industry?
That's exactly right. By the time that we get to award shows like the Grammys, the Emmys, the Golden Globes, the Oscars, we're at the end of the line, right? So we need to start having the conversation at the beginning. So when you're talking about film or TV, you need to think more about the screenwriters, you know, who it is in the room writing those scripts for TV shows, who is actually writing the screenplays that eventually will be made into film. It always should be about the most qualified person, but what we know is that access and opportunity have always been limited to people from marginalized communities, and that's something that needs to change.
And when you mentioned that we're still talking about firsts, which means we still need to have this conversation, I really am so excited about Black Klansman, and I'm almost at the point where I feel like a lot of people are going to be disappointed should Spike Lee not win his first Academy Award as director. What are your thoughts on this category?
I think the category for Best Director and Best Picture are incredibly strong this year. Spike has had an amazing career, decade after decade of quality films. You know, I've been rocking with Spike all the way back to She's Gotta Have It. And in fact, my university, University of Texas at Austin, when I was a student there 30 years ago, we brought Spike right before Do the Right Thing came out in the theater. So this is really a full circle moment for me to now see him nominated for Best Director and to see Black Klansman nominated as Best Picture. He does have the Lifetime Achievement Award, but he's never been nominated specifically for a particular film.
And which is remarkable to me. I didn't realize until I saw the New York Times piece this week that once he didn't get any recognition for Do the Right Thing, that he was like, all right, well, I'm going to go do my thing. I'm going to create my work and let the chips fall where they may, essentially. Wouldn't you say?
Sure. And I think that's what we see a lot of filmmakers doing these days. That's why filmmakers like Michael B. Jordan and Viola Davis have created their own production companies. So they're no longer waiting for the big studios to make the films that they want to see. They are taking the reins in their own hands. And I think that's great because it also opens the door to opportunities for other people from traditionally underrepresented communities to be seen both in front of and behind the camera making quality work.
Hi, April. This is Tom, Patty's producer. I just got a question for you about the film Green Book, because this has been a center of controversy for this Oscars and also surrounding this kind of whiteness, whitewashing of black stories. This movie is directed by Peter Farrelly, a white man, while still dealing with a very important black story dealing with racism in the South. And people have been sort of dissatisfied with the way the story has been told. Do you think that with its recognition by the Oscars as a nominee, are we just going to keep seeing more of these narratives taken over by white voices?
Well, we'll have to see. This has been an ongoing concern through the years. And as I said before, this is truly an example of who is telling the story and whose story is being told. For your listeners who may not know about the controversy, the issue is the main character played by Mahershala Ali, his family, was not happy with the screenplay, and it didn't feel that it completely told his side of the story. It, you know, the story is really written by, in part, the relative of Viggo Mortensen's character. And so there was a concern there that, you know, we're not getting the full picture. And so, again, you know, that has nothing to do necessarily with the actors themselves, but who is telling the story, right? And so I'm
hopeful that people understand that this is a significant and ongoing concern and will be very intentional going forward about ensuring that we're getting the full picture and not just half when we're telling stories of very important figures in our history.
And that's the thing, Tom. I didn't mean to cut you off. It sounded like you might want to, because we're talking to April Rain, and this has been such an incredible journey for us to sort of follow you. You know, when you created this, I'm guessing you didn't have any concept of where this would lead, and a lot of people are attributing your call to arms, basically, to saying, "Hey, look, you know, we've gone through this year after year. Look, for me, April, you know, having Roma and women from Mexico be nominated on the stage and in the audience for the Oscars is very exciting for me, because that's been obviously a dearth for my community. I've never seen anyone really like me on stage at the Academy Awards. But what has it been like for you to hear people say you have really had such a tremendous impact on how far we've come in the last 5 years?
It's incredibly humbling. You know, Spike Lee has been very effusive in his praise as he's done his press tour for Black Klansman. But I always want to turn the spotlight back on the filmmakers and the performers, right? What I said in January of 2015 is not any different from what people like Harry Belafonte and even as far back as Hattie McDaniel have been saying for decades. There was just a nice confluence between the advent of social media and people being more interested in taking ownership of the entertainment that they take in every year. And that I think, you know, I was just at the right place at the right time. But, you know, movies like If Beale Street Could Talk and Black Panther and The Hate U Give and Roma and so many others, you know, would have been great quality films, whether they were made in the 2000s or even 20 years ago. I'm hoping that Oscar So White just was helpful in shining a light on films that people perhaps may not have taken as close a look at otherwise.
Oh, I think you can rest assured that, that it has had a tremendous impact in the conversation. And that's the thing, too, is that the conversation, right? I watched some of these things unfold on your feed. In particular, I was watching after the Grammys when, you know, people were going back and forth. The idea that J-Lo would be the performer chosen to perform the Motown tribute was weird. And again, I'm Latina, and I was like, yeah, I'm not really sure about that choice. There was a little bit of... Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say that it was an interesting choice because, you know, J-Lo is a fantastic performer. You know, I think about just last year, you know, she had her own tribute and she brought the house down. She was fantastic. But she's not known as a purveyor of soul music. And there were so many artists, especially our artists that are aging a little bit, that were sitting in the audience or could have been brought on stage
Ava
to
Staples.
Truly give a Motown tribute. And so I felt like that was maybe a missed opportunity. You know, sometimes we wait until we see those in memoriams to remember, you know, all of the quality entertainers that we still have. And so I'm always all for giving people flowers while they can still smell them. And so it is no slight on J-Lo whatsoever. I just wish that we had taken more advantage of the incredible wealth of talent that we still have, of actual current and former Motown artists.
And I have to agree. I'm also fascinated by the number. There's a study that says that women led record number of 2018 movies in a new study this year. Is that something you've noticed as compared to the last few years?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we see Patty was the director of Wonder Woman. We have Dee Reese. Ava DuVernay has been in the news for the last several years, both for TV and film. And so women are definitely, I think, receiving more opportunities than they have in the past. And in fact, there's now the 4% initiative out there, which I completely support. And all that says is that filmmakers, artists, actors, and actresses commit to working with a female director in film in the next 18 months. And hopefully that brings to the forefront directors that may have not had opportunities elsewhere, you know, as performers, filmmakers are looking for those directors with whom they can work, because they're absolutely out there. We just need to shine a spotlight on them so that they get their opportunities to do their best work.
And I also want to let people know about Cleo, which is a new series, Cleo Speaks, which is a new series that you're involved in. Tell us a little bit about this and where people can find it.
Sure. Cleo Speaks is going to be on TV One, so check your local listings. And I was very honored to take part as one of several Black women that they interviewed, just talking to us really about who we are, where we came from, and what we have planned going forward. But it was a lovely, introspective way to get to know people a little bit better, the person behind either the hashtag or the movement or the cause that you may not be able to see otherwise. So Cleo TV and Cleo Speaks will be coming very soon, and I'm very, very thankful to have taken part.
Yeah, congratulations on that and all of your work. I encourage people who really want to participate in the conversation, agree, disagree. It's always dynamic, and April has this way of like, look, if you don't agree, we'll talk it out. And that's what I love about you so much, April. I really do.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's really supposed to be a conversation. You know, I typically hold my conversations on Twitter, and I'm looking for divergent viewpoints from literally all around the world. That's the wonderful thing about social media. You're not limited to your particular geographic community. You can talk to folks from New Zealand to Thailand and everywhere in between. And I enjoy having those conversations and learning and growing. I think everyone has an opportunity to learn, and everyone has an opportunity to teach.
And I have to ask before we let you go, what are you doing to get ready for the Academy Awards on Sunday?
I'm sure I'm doing what everyone else is doing, you know, making sure that the gown is right. I'm taking my 19-year-old son with me, and so, you know, we ensured that his tuxedo was ready to go. You know, I'm breaking in my shoes and all of the rest of the stuff that folks do for, you know, a very special night on the town.
I will be looking for you on the red carpet and in the audience. I'm so proud and excited for you, April, and I look forward to having you. Maybe we can... Oh, Paul has a question.
I'm just boycotting the Oscars because my favorite movie wasn't nominated.
Oh, so. Yeah. Paul's very upset, April, about a movie that was not nominated. Go ahead, Paul. Tell her the movie.
So I thought the greatest movie of the year was documentary Won't You Be My Neighbor by the documents Fred Rogers.
About Mr. Rogers.
Yes. And it wasn't nominated, and I felt very strongly about it, so I'm boycotting.
Absolutely understandable. I mean, it has been nominated for some of the other award shows, but I think it was a great way to see, you know, who the man really was. You know, we remember the cardigans and the little kids' tennis shoes, but I didn't realize how much work he put into every single program. Mm-hmm. You know, and he was part of the childhood of millions of kids around the country. But, you know, that just goes to show you, you know, who is in charge of voting and nominating, you know, particular films. And, you know, hopefully those things will change so that everyone has an opportunity to see the most quality work recognized.
And I'm going to have a hashtag for all of you listening for the Oscars. It's going to be like, where's Fred? Hashtag, where's Fred?
Do you want April to maybe do some sort of
if you can help us
subtle,
out and retweet us,
thing.
April, I appreciate it. My organization is boycotting it. My organization is just me and my nephew, who's going to be 13. So we're both very upset about it.
Well,
I respect the passion.
Thanks, April.
Again, April Reign. You can follow her on Twitter at Reign of April, R-E-I-G-N of April. It has been a pleasure, and we look forward to talking to you again very soon. Maybe you want to check back with us next week and let us know how it went at the Academy Awards, and just so very thrilled for you.
I'd be happy to. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate the support.
Oh, thanks, April. I adore you. Thank you so much, April. We're going to take a break here and more in a moment on 720 WGN.
This one's hard.
Are you locking into my appalling lack of musical knowledge?
No vocals to help you on this.
Patty can get it. She can't get it in the front.
Oh, that's not a bad guess, though.
With those keyboards? Not a good guess, but yeah.
It's not a good guess.
it's a middle-of-the-road guess.
She's not going to get this
time. I mean,
you're
putting a lot of pressure on her.
With Patty no vocals.
I've learned from Patty's appalling knowledge and being on the road with her that if she can't get it in the first 10 seconds, she's not going to get it.
This is
and
true.
Also, Steve said that. And now I'm going back in hindsight, yes. I'm seeing that.
Yeah. My husband says that if it's not going to matter once they start singing. That's not the part.
I thought that would give it away. Although it helped you yesterday with Bruce Springsteen.
Yes.
You got it over our guest who was from New Jersey. Yes. That was the most impressive thing that Patty's ever
surprising.
Done.
Surprising. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Comedian Paul Farvar, Esquire, and a mocker of my appalling lack of musical knowledge, it joins us. He has he's the host of the Singles Only podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe to it. Let us know what you think, because I often ride sidecar with him, as does Jeannie Dugan and Kelsey Huff. We have a new one this week.
You were on this one with Valerie Landis.
Yes, we talked about
not to be confused with Valerie Genghis,
who also joins us in studio, best-selling author of Enlightenment is Sexy. You can go to her website, valeriegenghis.com, to find out more about the great work that she does. That's GANGAS. Now, Tom, they were talking earlier about how they grew up together, and Paul recommended Valerie. We kind of, we're emailing back and forth, and thank you so much, Valerie, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I love having you. We look forward to having you back, and fascinated by the fact that there's meditating going on in a community in Iowa. I mean, not that they can't meditate in Iowa. It's just that they've chosen.
It's pretty random.
I feel like
super random.
That's one place you don't need to meditate because it's so quiet and slow already.
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean,
I mean that in a bad way.
There's
a
lot of cows.
It's a positive.
And yeah. Like corn. And
cows are relaxing. Corn is relaxing.
Super relaxing, but.
Just like I learned from the series Girls that one of the best writing programs in the country is in Iowa. I did not know
University
that either.
University of Iowa, yep.
So you learn things from TV.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So could you now we talked about Wild Wild Country, and Tom, you were saying that there's a development underway to make a fictional series and or movie about.
Yeah, it's going to be about not the guru himself, but his assistant, who's a massive figure in the mini series, and really the more interesting figure, if we're being honest.
Well, see, I would rather do a series about a less creepy version of that, which sounds like what's going on in Fairfield, Iowa.
That's right. It's not creepy in Fairfield.
Okay.
Again, we're not poisoning people, so
yes,
allegedly.
Stashing weapons.
That's right.
That was the weirdest thing. Like, you see these folks, like, they all wear the same colors. They're all wearing,
this is
like,
Wild Wild Country.
Yeah, it's a cult. And they're all wearing, and they all live in.
Super cult.
Yeah, they were all, like, they've built these A-frame houses. They bought, like, what was it? Like, 200,000 acres in Washington or something. Was it Oregon or Washington?
Oregon.
Yep. And they basically were trying to build their own town. They
take over the government.
They were able to, I think they changed the name of the town and the streets and everything.
That's right. And
it
then they put a little poison in a buffet.
Yeah.
A salad bar.
Yeah.
To be exact.
Yeah. Paul's now fascinated.
No, it's amazing. It's opposite of the kind of stuff I'd watch. I watch more pleasant television about
the 80s.
Yes, he
watches
Elf. Like,
I was just going to say, I believe that you watch
Webster,
Elf.
Barney Miller, which is very underrated. These are all shows that you can see on basic cable, which I have.
Great show.
I don't have this Netflix that you speak of. But
I can give you my Hulu code if you want.
I don't want it. That's the whole point.
You don't want to. Handmaid's Tale, I think that would freak you out.
I think that's one of the best shows that's ever been created in the history of TV shows.
Have you seen the images of them shooting? They were doing some on-site in D.C. the day that President Trump announced.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah.
I think June 7th. Yeah. The next season's coming out.
That's good to know. Let's take a break here. More in a moment on 720 WGN. Wanna tell you about the girl I know. My, she looks so fine. She's the only one that I've been dreaming of. Maybe someday she will be all mine.
Okay, Patty. Who's that?
Same guy that does American Pie? No.
Woof.
McClellan.
Just take a guess. Take a guess. It's more fun when you guess. Listen.
It's a good song. I like it. I know. I'm like, do you know Valerie?
Look at Val's
King's
face. Don't say it. I know you know what it is.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I do.
Yeah.
Is it a solo artist?
It's an artist that we've talked about quite often. Oh, that could give it away.
Robert Plant? Is that correct?
That is who's
from Led
singing.
Zeppelin.
Yes.
Okay.
Boom.
There you go.
Nice.
All right. I would not come out of the gate thinking that was a Led Zeppelin song.
I just wanted to hear the names you came up with, because
that's pretty. Look at that. Was amazing.
Yeah, that was good. She worked well. I mean, she was given a lot of time.
Yeah. Not just that, but it's like we. But let's be honest. My former producer, Michael Heidemann, we had a cover band, Led Zeppelin cover band on. And I was like, oh, that guy sounds really good. And I was like, who's he, you know?
Who are your influences?
Yeah, and he said Robert Plant. I don't know. So anyway, so that was something that...
But Val has seen the Instagram stories when we were in Indiana. My favorite guess that Patty's had of all time.
Are you sure it wasn't Twisted Sister? That wasn't
Twisted
your favorite?
Sister was a funny
it was
one
close.
Too.
It was close.
She
not Twisted
that.
Sister. I guessed Pink Floyd.
She guessed Pink Floyd instead.
I'm
of
a Twister.
Twisted Sister.
Is that when you guys were like in a restaurant and he was like quizzing you?
Yeah. The music was coming on. The 22 year old waitress was getting them more right than Patty. On these
that's,
are like
that's
classic
correct.
Songs.
Yeah.
But the best was when Guns N' Roses came on.
No, when Axl Rose was singing. And
you said
and
the
I
band.
Said, I said, this is Axl Rose.
I said, what's the name of the band? She said, Axl Rose and the Guns.
Yes, that is exactly what I said.
I mean, she's kind of right.
Yeah.
See
you're not wrong.
You're not wrong.
I was incorrect.
It is a good cover band name for a Guns N' Roses cover band.
Now, the problem
I will say that
I have explained to Paul with my appalling lack of musical knowledge is that it makes using a smart speaker pretty impossible because I have no way. I just know
that
I like
song
music.
I like.
Yeah, what's that song
the
with the
guitar?
You know, I try to like do the tunes and I try to think of a lyric and I can't ask for music. I end up playing pretty much the same artists over and over again. A little Bonnie Raitt, maybe Indigo Girls. I've got a lot of
that's her favorite band, Indigo Girls, which makes me laugh every time.
I love Indigo Girls.
Yeah, they're good. But
and Bonnie Raitt. I mean, that's
Bonnie
good
Raitt's
stuff.
Awesome. That's
good
great.
Stuff.
Got some Paul Simon on my smart speaker.
Big fan of Paul
any,
Simon.
Any Wilson Phillips?
No Wilson Phillips.
Oh, come on.
I'm sorry. I mean, I think that I might know a couple of their songs, but I couldn't.
They only have a couple.
They really have only got one big song, but I ride or die for Wilson Phillips.
Oh, by the way, I was tricked into thinking that I could look as good with short hair as the blonde in Wilson Phillips.
China Phillips.
I was not able to look as good as a China Phillips, which is why I have very long hair.
Val and I grew up loving music, and we've gone to a lot of concerts together. And one of the stories I want to tell about Val is at positive energy with her that she's had, which you can read from the book and just amazing
yes,
things.
Yes, Valerie is the best-selling author of Enlightenment is Sexy, and she is now being teased by her friend, comedian Paul
Farmer. This is a positive story. So we both like this band, Bon Iver, and she, the night of the show, I had
Are
six
you saying
tickets.
Something dirty?
No, that's the name of the
Bon Iver?
Band. Bon Iver.
Okay, sorry.
Who's Iver?
They cover a Bonnie Raitt song, actually, that's very well done, which is I Can't Make
About?
You Love Me.
Oh, okay.
No, they should cover. It goes into it. Oh, no, Caught at the Nick of Time is the end.
Yes.
But anyway, the story is that I had tickets. Val, sold out show at Chicago Theater. She goes, I don't have tickets. And I go, well, I don't know what to do. I made some calls trying to make it happen. She goes, it'll work out. She goes online. They release tickets the day of the show, which sometimes they do. And Val, you say what happened. What tickets did you end up getting for face value?
And that was like 10 minutes, I think, before like I left for the show. It was first or second row center.
Yeah.
And that's just like, you know.
What?
That's good ticket karma. That's what it is.
It was it's a show that sold out but months before. I got my tickets way in advance. I had to make some calls.
Who do they hold those tickets for that they are the...
Probably like scalpers, right?
No, they hold them for the... It's usually the artists will have some for family or friends. And since they're from Wisconsin, maybe they release them. But your timing has to be literally...
Oh,
within
yeah.
minutes, because people are going on there all the time trying to get tickets.
But I feel like that keeps happening to me, so now I'm like a snot about
concert. It's kind of like getting first class,
nothing.
Isn't it? It's
yeah,
kinda
it
like
is.
Once you get bumped into first class, you're like, oh, I can't.
That's right. I can't
economy.
Go backwards. Can't go back.
I gotta get
the sweet
seats.
I've only been in first class once bumped, but I've never been.
Oh. I once was offered it for like $75, and it was American Airlines. I was like, sure, it was years ago. $75 is a long flight. I could do that.
Sure.
It was, I was like, oh.
Now you can't go
it's
back.
It's glorious.
Oh my gosh.
It's glorious.
I don't think I've ever told you this story. So I was traveling with the Bob and Tom Comedy All-Stars. We were traveling all over the country. And that was why I thought for $75, I'll fly, you know, in some comfortable seats. And I was so excited, and it was an aisle seat. And this woman walks up to me and like lets out this huge sigh. throws her bag over me, doesn't give me a chance to get out of her way to let her sit down. It was almost as though she knew I didn't belong there. That's all, mm-hmm. like everything started to feel that way. And we're on the tarmac and she's on the phone. She's cussing to somebody like about whatever. She's really angry about something. And we find out that the plane is delayed. There's like, you can see lightning outside and the plane's going to be delayed. So the flight attendants, as they do in first class, they're passing out free cocktails and she asks for a white wine and I ask for a red wine, as I do. But I'm tense. Like, you know when someone's giving off bad energy?
Totally.
Valerie, you must, right? And I wish I had meditated.
You wish you had, like, sage that you were burning, oh, like, around yes. your body?
On a plane, yes.
Oh, I should have had sage. So, and my father had passed away not long before that. So I honestly think this was my dad going, I'm going to get this broad for you, right? So we had our wine glasses, like, right next to each other on this little ledge. And all of us, I'm not kidding you, I go to grab my glass. And it was like my dad had just hit my elbow. Red wine all over this woman, just drenched.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Dripping it like on her window. And right then they go, ladies and gentlemen, please fasten your seatbelts. We're about to take off. So there's nothing anyone can do. We can't get her any rags or anything to help her. And I'm trying to like clean her off. She's like, and she's swearing at me like a sailor. She's like, get your hands off of me, like screaming at the top mm-hmm. of her lungs.
And that's the day you met Ivanka Trump.
It was ridiculous. I have no idea. And so I'm like, it's all tense. And finally, when we're airborne and we level out, they bring her some towels and stuff. And she's just like angry at me and yelling at me. And I go, can I please move up to that seat that was empty, like a couple seats up? And I'm sitting there. And later, this woman comes up to me. She goes, are you Patty Vasquez from WGN Radio? And because I used to be a guest on Steve Cochran's show. And yeah. I'm like, yes, I am. Go tell that lady I'm important.
I love it.
But it was, but here's the thing. The next time I Steve and I got bumped up to first class, I'm not kidding you. I order red wine. Steve's right next to me. The only pair of pants he had packed, they were khakis. It was a last minute trip. I got booked to do a gig in Denmark and spill red wine all over him. I do not order red wine on stop. Planes anymore.
Yeah. I think Steve that's like a clear sign.
Yeah.
Don't drink red wine.
I have a chapter in the book, Follow the Signs, and there you go.
Yes.
That's it.
You know what I drink if I have to have a cocktail? Vodka soda.
Good.
Right, because that way liquid. It's in that way. If someone else gets a stain, I can actually help them. Mm-hmm. I can actually be helpful to others.
Quickly, take this vodka and drink it. You'll feel better.
And then use the yeah.
Yeah, so those are my superpowers are I don't know music and I will spill red wine on you if given the opportunity.
I'd love to see you at communion. Oh my God. That's how you know Patty went to church that Sunday. Well, the priest comes out drenched.
That sounded weird.
Oh my God.
The thing about the Lutheran church, so I grew up let's not talk about the Mormon church, but I was Mormon till I was 10.
I just got back from Salt Lake City and I went to
really?
Temple Square, yeah.
Ooh, I've never been to Salt Lake City.
Oh my goodness, you have to go.
I've heard, I don't it's know if I'm incredible. Allowed. My brother says that even though I don't practice Mormonism, that I'm still part of the Mormon church. It's like the mob or something.
Well, you could go and look through the family
records
and
stuff. Oh, we're in there. Oh, when Griffin was born, they were on my porch the next day. Some red light goes off in a cave somewhere. They pull the file and they show up on your front porch. I got to take a break here. We have Alex Ortiz.
Tell us the Lutheran thing.
It's too late. More in a moment. They mostly do brandy. They don't do red wine. Comedian Alex Ortiz joined us in studio, and I don't think he knows this about me. Alex, in all the years that we've known each other, and I feel like nobody really ever noticed this until comedian Paul Farvar called me out and then decided to share it with the world. I have an appalling lack of musical knowledge.
Really?
Yes, appalling.
No kidding.
Yes, it is.
You're like.
I'm what? I'm a human
You're
being.
Like almost as old as me, so no.
No, I'm
you
not.
Should you like you should know all music. No, like I know it all.
How can you? But I see.
We should test him. Let's see if he beats.
All right.
You.
Let's see if you could. Yeah, of course he'll beat
I
me.
I think he will.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. From Humboldt Park. Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Alex Ortiz joins us in the studio. He is a world renowned comedian, and we're so happy to have him home for a little bit. Comedian Paul Farvar, Esquire, host of the podcast Singles Only, and Valerie Genghis, the best selling author of Enlightenment Is Sexy. And yes, Tom, if you want to pull up some songs and. Show Alex how bad I am at music.
Really?
You're welcome to. Yes, everyone seems to get a kick out of this. We actually have it as a game, Patty, appalling
you're
lack.
Really that bad?
Yeah, I'm really that bad.
Awesome.
I am appallingly bad. But Alex, is there something that you grew up loving that you know just a lot of? Like, I know, like, for me, history and old books and old movies and things like that.
Mythology.
You know mythology?
Yeah. Greek really? And Norse mythology. Yeah. I started out with comic books, and it just went into, like, Greek mythology. And then it just got lost.
Oh, so you don't know all the mythology?
No, I love all of it. I read all of it. Yeah. Okay. And then when I got into like the beginnings of Christianity, I just got it was done.
You two can tell. You guys have.
I was going to say, do you love Joseph Campbell?
Yeah,
I love him.
Graham Hancock, Elaine Pagels, all those people. I love reading them. I love reading all of that stuff.
It's endless. Yeah. Interesting knowledge.
Yeah,
I never like when I read the. I had to read Homer's The Odyssey, right?
Yeah,
and the Iliad. I just couldn't track it. I was like, what is happening with this? Like, yeah. It all looked like my mom would get very mad at me for. I was like, this is all gibberish, mommy. Yeah. I like books that were history based. Like for some reason she bought me Uncle Tom's Cabin when I was 11 years old, which is not an easy read when you're 11, and yet I loved it.
No, I started with whenever I get into a writer. I just like read everything. Like right now, I'm into Lee Childs, who does the Jack Reacher stuff.
Okay,
and I can't put him down. The guy's amazing. So I'm a voracious reader. I love to read.
We'll have to get you a copy of Enlightenment to Sexy. Do you meditate?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, see, everybody's doing more work on themselves than I am. I gotta get to work.
I'm old and sexy. That's how I work. You gotta keep it old and sexy.
Yeah.
Tom, do you have something you want to test me with? All right, let's show Alex.
I think Alex will get this before you, but don't say it if you know it.
It's not
it,
a
put
on either, Alex. Yeah, you can't.
It's just to see.
And you can also go, come
if
on.
You think you should guess if you think Al- if Patty's going to get this right.
Yes, you can guess whether or not. That's how we play
that's
the
how
game.
It is. Okay.
Seriously? Seriously?
I got it.
Do you think she's
going to
get it right?
It's Santana.
Oh, okay.
It is Santana. Yeah. Very good. Yes.
Okay. Do you know the song title?
Witch. Something about Black Witchy Woman. I don't know.
Close. Black Witchy Woman. No. Incorrect. No.
It's in Spanish.
No. Is it really?
The word?
Como se va? Como. Wait, hold on a second. Como se va?
You're so close.
So close.
Oye, como va?
Oye, como va? That's right. Yeah. Okay, let's go. Yeah, okay, let's go. All right.
Yeah, she's terrible, dog. She's terrible.
Oh, wait, we got more.
It's going to get worse. I know it is.
But she gets, like, pieces of it, so it's, like, kind of making
right.
sense.
She knew it was. It's like okay. Santana, but I have no idea what he was saying.
What's the one? Isn't there a witchy woman in one of them?
Yeah, Black Magic Woman.
Black Magic Woman? Yeah, oh, no. Okay, not Black
Witchy Woman is a whole different... Yeah.
Hit me. Every now and then I get a little bit. Okay, I had this one recently.
You got another.
We've done this
Total
song.
Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Okay.
But who does it?
Okay, I get confused between two women, and it's probably not going to be either one of them.
Okay, let's hear the two you are.
Either Stevie Nicks or Bonnie Tyler.
Oh, very good.
That's definitely one of those. Yeah.
Okay, good. Definitely. That's all I got. It's Bonnie Tyler.
Yeah, yeah, if you just said like Sheila E. and J-Lo, we'd have been mad as hell.
And the only reason I knew this is because I was in at a comedy fest in Grand Rapids, and everyone wanted me to come to the karaoke night, and I don't know any so I can't sing anything. Like I thought I knew Joan Jett's I Love Rock and Roll, mm-hmm. and I did that once at karaoke, and I don't know I Love Rock and Roll. Mm-hmm. I don't like because she doesn't sing on the music. Come on, take a time and dance with me. Like it's not on the music. She like speeds it up.
Yeah.
So I sat in my hotel room for like an hour trying to memorize the words to Total Eclipse of the Heart, and
it's hard.
Yeah, I couldn't. I didn't show up for the karaoke night.
They never say what I think they're saying anyway, because you sing those songs, none of them ever make sense, you know?
Yeah.
You're riding on the deuce. Yeah, what do you say?
Yeah, no, mine is I'll be your
wrapped up on a deuce.
I have no idea what they're saying.
I'll be your pizza burning.
I'll be your pizza burning.
Yes.
All right, we got one more for you.
I'll be your beast of burden.
Oh, you thought that?
Dirty,
oh, that's a good one.
Dirty deeds, and they're done. Dirty deeds. I don't know.
Yeah,
I thought.
Stop now, please.
All right, go ahead, Tom.
One more, I think, and Alex, see if you think she'll get this. I'm gonna guess she won't get this. A little too tall, could have used a few
pounds. She already looks confused.
Okay, Val, do you think she's going to get it?
Do you know?
Yeah. She was a blackhead. You know, too.
You know.
Val's trying to trick you into knowing.
I'm trying to tell you
she's
with my
giving
mind.
You positive
Come
energy.
On, he's giving you everything, though. He like gives you like 17. He's like, oh, I can name that song in 37 beats.
Okay, Patty, who's your guess? What band or person or whatever is this? Tom doesn't believe it either. Tom, do you think she's going to get it?
She's got it.
I'm trying to send the vibes.
Everyone's sending vibes.
Like, trying to channel
I'm sending
it.
He's playing the whole song, too. It's like that. He's not like giving you like a little
it's
bit.
A night thing. It's a
night kind of thing. Yeah.
Night something.
he just said the name of the song.
What was it?
But what is the band name or the artist name?
Rod Stewart.
No.
He's a guy, right? He's a guy.
It is a man.
It's a man.
It is a guy.
It's a guy.
But it's not Rod Stewart. But it's in the same era ish.
Is he okay? He's not British, is he?
No.
Is Ben coming in here going, how do you put up with her appalling lack of musical knowledge?
I just love all the producers that come in here play this game to just watch.
Ernie comes in and he'll like pound on the glass like unbelievable.
Like, I can't believe you don't know this.
So Patty, one more guess.
I'm like, wow.
One more guess.
Can we give her part of it?
No. Absolutely not. She'll get it.
I can't. I have no idea.
It's a person's name.
I'm guessing.
Well, yeah.
He would hope.
It's a person's name. No. He's named
Tom,
after a buffalo.
Why don't we play another song from this artist?
Really? I would never
like
guess
a
that.
Rock.
Yeah,
we'll see if she can get that.
No. She has told me. It's okay.
Oh, you did?
It's okay. It's okay,
why
Valerie.
Did you tell her?
Because there's no way I would never guess that. I would like Bob Seger is never.
You could read my lips.
Really?
That was pretty good.
Oh, thank you. But I would never, ever. Guess I would. That's not even a name. Like it would never. Like it would never be a guess. For
I was good. I wanted to give her Silver Bullet Band.
Nope.
And see she if she could.
No.
I think you're gonna say Bob.
No, not even a little bit. No. Bob Seger. I'm like people will tell me. I'm like, oh, okay. And then it falls out of my head. I will forget that next time.
Yeah.
You have to do it
just
over
night
and over
moves.
Again.
Just remember. And you're working at night. Night moves.
Well, you know what's funny is we've had that Led Zeppelin song for Patty before. So and she still got it wrong. And we've done Bonnie Taylor a few times, okay. And she's got that.
I
right.
Seriously feel like you're putting a lot of pressure on her.
No, this is legit. No, it's legit.
We've done it at noon in a restaurant where nobody's around.
You are so proud of the fact that you don't know none of this stuff.
Because my husband moved past it 20 years ago. We've been together for 24 years now, right? And for the first four years of our relationship, he was convinced that it was impossible. Like he thought for 4 years I was putting him on.
Okay.
And he loves Elvis Costello, and I got so exhausted with him asking me, like, who sings this? I'm like, I don't know, Elvis Costello. And he's like, it's Madonna. And I just got want to thank my guests, Paul Farvar, Esquire, for joining us tonight, hanging out for a little bit, and tell people about how they can catch you at Everyone's a Lawyer.
Yeah, I got Everyone's a Lawyer this Sunday at Laugh Factory, 7 p.m., or Drink Day Laugh at Laugh Factory. Actually, I'm at Laugh Factory all weekend this weekend, surprisingly.
Fun.
And our podcast, Singles Only, with you as our riding shotgun with Valerie Landis.
Can I tell you something about that selfie and the video?
Yes.
I hate my bangs in that picture more than anything I've ever hated myself in a long, like I've had double chins and like you could see bats in the cave and other pictures, and I absolutely hate my bangs and my forehead in that photo.
If
there's some way you could redo.
Well, it's going to be stop playing in 3 days.
Okay. That's teasing.
And a new one will go up.
It's something to remember. You know what, Valerie? That's who I was in that moment, right? That's what I looked like. That's who I was.
And there's eggs in my face during that.
No one's noticing
in your ear. Bangs. Yeah.
In 20 years, Alex, I'll be like, oh, I looked good that day. You know what I mean? But now I'm like, before you go, also, a listener from the 312 said, I always thought it was bleep the Casbah. They thought it was that,
right.
We were talking about lyrics that we get wrong. 312-981-7200 if you have a song. You know what, I can stop looking at the text screen. If you want to text a song to Tom Hush and see if I know it, you're welcome to. 312-981-7200. I won't look. So thank you, Paul, so much for joining us. Valerie, tell people again about your website and what they can learn about Enlightenment is Sexy.
Well, Enlightenment is Sexy is on Amazon. You can order it there. And my website is just my name, ValerieGangas.com. I work with people as a life coach. And I'm there to talk about transcendental meditation also.
Well, I look forward to having you back in studio. Please, anytime you're in town, my mics are open for you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Be well. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. Joining me is Alex Ortiz. He's an artist, a comedian, a writer, and you're an incredible performer. Great to have you back in the studio.
I'm glad to be home. It's good to see you.
Yeah, you've been traveling a lot.
Yeah.
I didn't know you lived here. I thought you lived somewhere else.
No. I went to LA for like 2 years, but I couldn't do it because I'm from here.
I never once left Los Angeles because I would go every month for meetings and for business and for work. And I never once got on a plane thinking, oh, I wish I could stay.
No.
Never. No, not once. No, I don't. No. I just can't.
I thought I was going to go to jail if I stayed in LA. Because I'm from Chicago. We have a certain kind of attitude in Chicago. Like, we don't put up with nothing, no matter what you do. I don't care who you are. I almost killed Dane Cook at, like, the Improv.
And he's making a comeback, I hear. What happened at the improv with Dane?
If I got a hold of
him. Oh, boy. what did Dane do to you?
He's just kind of arrogant. You know, there's no need to be that kind of arrogant. You don't have to be.
Not with other comics.
No, I'm from Chicago. I'm from the place where we will punch you in the face if you get, like, a certain octave, you know, you get a certain place. Humble Park, we don't play.
No.
He got disrespectful. I thought, dude, when they took me out of the Improv, they're like, dude, you can't kill Dane Cook. I said, yeah, I can.
No, you can't. No, you can't. You can't say those things, Alex. You got to be careful. People take these things out of context.
I couldn't stay because we have a certain, like I said, mentality here. We don't play.
We don't. You know what? I say that all the time. Yeah. I say, "Mommy, don't play."
No, we don't have time.
Well, you know what it is? I have a low tolerance for people who are willfully ignorant, or unkind, or inept. Like, just don't show up. Yeah,
if
no
you
manners.
Have no manners. It just drives me crazy.
Yeah.
You know, if you can't say excuse me, you know, thank you, or, you know, pardon, I can't do it.
Maybe you and I should meditate.
Yeah.
I mean, because I've been told, like, you know, you know what it is? I know what it is. We have high expectations.
Old school. We grew up in a place where people, like, you respected your elders.
Yes.
And now that doesn't happen anymore.
Right. And maybe because people don't think I look older.
Yeah.
The pigtails aren't helping
because
me.
Because you look fabulous.
Oh, thank you. Yes, so do you, darling.
Yes. But, I mean, I'm old. So I'm used to a certain way of things, you know, being done. And nowadays, it's just, as I say, you ask a kid to climb a tree to look like you're crazy. Why would I climb a tree?
Why are you telling kids to climb a tree?
Because it's fun.
Okay, truth be told, when Griffin was, he always wanted to climb a tree. And I would let him because it's a skill. I agree. You should have. You should have that sort of sense of adventure and how far can I go? Right. But I also had friends. I had one that had broken their arm.
But that's part of it.
No, but I was like, what if it's the one time he falls on his head? Do you know what I mean? It was tough.
I broke my arm on Mozart Avenue falling out of a tree. And it was like one of the coolest things ever. Like, ever. And you don't have that experience now as a kid because you're like, climb a tree. Why would I climb a tree? Is it an iPhone app? Can I do it on iPhone? I'll climb a tree on iPhone.
Well, I don't know. And it's got to be a good tree, though. That's the thing, too. When you find a good climbing tree. Do you still look at a tree?
I go, oh, I like to climb that. Yeah. Yes. Still, to this day.
Yeah. There's when you see a good climbing tree, it's very tempting.
Yeah, it's a special thing. And people they don't understand it now. My kids have no idea what we went through as kids, you know, having to come into the house when the lights came on. You're just mad because you're like, I just want to stay outside. My son won't leave the house. In his room, he's got a 42-inch flat screen TV.
Well, why'd you put that
he's
in there?
He's got Wi-Fi, Xbox, PlayStation, Wii system. He never wants to leave his room.
The only thing in my son's rooms are their beds and them.
That's it?
They got a dresser. No electronics. And Griffin, he's actually personally good about plugging his phone in another room, so he doesn't even have it when he goes to bed. But that doesn't mean he's not on it all day, Alex. Right. Believe me. He's also still a teenager.
I got teenagers. Yeah. I got three of them.
Griffin's 15.
Nah, I got one of those.
Yeah. I remember when he was, because you know, our kids were so sweet, right, when they were little. Like, with Griffin, there was a point where someone was commenting on how great he was with his little brother who has special needs.
Right.
And I said, I know, he's the best big brother Griffin could have. And Griffin got mad at me later. He goes, Mommy, you didn't tell Principal Smith that Declan's the best little brother I could have. Wow. And Griffin was only 5 years old, and I was like, and he was in the car. He told me that from the back seat, and I pulled the car over and I gave him a kiss. I pick him up from high school. I go, how was your day today? He goes, what do you care? A lot changes. A lot changes in 10 years.
Good. That's all I get. Good.
Yeah, good.
How's your day? Good.
Do you ever try to, like, I used to try to do this. Tom, did you ever, when you were growing up, not want to be asked questions? Because I don't remember not wanting, or maybe my didn't want to be asked questions.
I lived with Maria Hush was the interrogator. There was no way that you weren't getting to do whatever it was, homework, going to your room, or going to, like, hang out with your friends. You didn't get to go anywhere without being asked at least, like, 30 hard-hitting questions, and she had eyes everywhere because she knew everybody in the neighborhood. And you said, oh yeah, I'm going to this person's house. If they saw you over at a different place, they would literally report back, and you'd get home and she'd be like, so You said you were going over to Tim's house. Yeah, yeah, no, yeah. Oh, then why did Mrs. O'Fallon see you over by Main Beach? That's interesting. That's,
see,
that's
my parents
the other
didn't care that much, dog.
Really?
They didn't care.
Yeah, no, my, they didn't care. Yeah, no, my parents didn't care.
Yeah, no.
I love
no.
you, Mommy, but let's be honest. Although she did. When I got a car, I think that was when she got nervous and I wouldn't come home at night and I was free. But other than
if there was an extra pork chop at dinner, they'd be like, where's Alex? What happened? Yeah. Is Alex not here? But that's the only time they cared.
I try to ask questions. Like I used to try this when in middle school. I would say, okay, tell me three things that you liked about your day. Tell me three things you didn't like about your day. And he would play along for a while, but that game has ended.
Yeah
I can't get anything from him.
No.
But he's very political. That's the thing that's really strange to me. I mean, he watches C-SPAN while he's doing homework, which, by the way, I've been able to get some good guests from, because I'll tweet at them while they're on C-SPAN, like authors and stuff. And like Brad Meltzer, we've got another author coming on in a couple weeks.
Brad Meltzer?
Yeah.
No kidding. The guy from the History Channel?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had him on a couple weeks ago.
No kidding. In the world.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because my son watches C-SPAN.
Yeah.
Me, I'm like, I watch things that are inappropriate for him on a different channel in my bedroom.
Yeah, no.
How many kids you got?
Five now.
Five kids.
Yeah. The oldest one is 36.
Damn.
Yeah.
We're not old enough to have kids that old.
Yeah, we are.
All right, then.
We are.
If I had a 36-year-old, then things have gotten...
No,
that would be impressive.
You know, and then I have the 15 and 13-year-old boys, which is the whole, it's a second set, second marriage, second set.
Well, you know what Griffin told me the other day? Because we wanted three, right? But after Declan, you know, because we knew it was going to be a lot of different sort of exertion of energy and resources raising a child with a disability, we stopped at two. And Griffin just told me the other day, he goes, well, Mommy, you know, when I leave for college, you guys can adopt. That's nice of you when you're not even around to babysit anymore. Yeah, thanks.
No,
appreciate that.
No.
No. Yeah. I wouldn't mind. I mean, I wish I had the ability.
You know, and the thing is, babies are so cute. You like when you see them, you're like, oh, it's so. But no.
babies were cute.
I'm too old.
Oh,
I'm too old. I can't.
I would say I'm too old.
I can't do the 3 o'clock feedings. I can't do none of that no more. I'm too old.
I was lucky. My husband was pretty good. Well, the trick is when you have an infant and they wake up in the middle of the night is to really pretend like you're asleep. Like it's absolutely not going to wake you up.
Yeah.
And there were nights when Steve would kick me and pretend like he was just rolling over. And that was when I knew he couldn't do it.
No, I got lucky. Most of them slept through the night. 10 to like 6 in the morning.
What?
The whole night. Yeah. Okay. Most of them, yeah.
Yeah, and you're not allowed to... Tom?
And you know, just a little bourbon, a little rum. They sleep through the night.
I always needed parents who had kids like that to not tell me about it.
Yeah.
Especially when I was, because Griffin to this day is still like, what's going on? What are we doing? Like, you know, there's too many exciting things. Were you a good sleeper, Tom?
Yes, but I had a tendency to fall asleep in weird places.
Like, oh, really?
Yeah. There were multiple times where we would be out in public and I would just get really tired and I'd be like, oh, it's time to go to sleep. And I would like, my folks once had a huge panic attack because we were at a wedding and it was a little bit late past my bedtime. And I went and I fell asleep underneath one of the tables, but I was covered by the tablecloth. So they thought I had wandered off. I was like 2 years old. And they were just like, oh my God, where is he?
No.
And then the bride luckily was like, look, she was like, hold on, let me grab like my purse or something like that. And she pulled up one of the tablecloths and there I was literally wrapped around.
I'm ex-army. I can fall asleep anywhere.
It's a great skill.
Anywhere. I can't stay awake on a plane to save my life.
Oh no, as soon as the engines go, I'm out.
I've fallen asleep on takeoff and then woken up at landing.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing.
I fell asleep on the 151 on the way here. I was like, oh good, it's nap time. Good driver. He's smooth, you know?
Yeah, I fall asleep on planes. But the problem with me is that I drool. So it's so gross to like wake up. So I bring my own pillow too, so hopefully that'll take care of some of that. But like I was in the car with Paul. We hit uneven pavement, some construction. He had a flat tire and he had to wake me up for it.
Yeah.
Oh, I swear to God, he had two flat tires and I was like, huh? What? Yeah.
I get the window seat and then I take my hoodie, my little scully, put it over my eyes, and I sleep immediately. I don't care what you got, whatever reason you come in, people come in going, you know, I'm with my wife and we have different seats. I'm like, I don't care. Just keep walking, dude. You're not getting my seat. I don't care. I don't care what it is. Your kids. I don't care. Just keep walking, dog.
Yeah.
I'm done. Yeah.
Now, that's the thing about Southwest. I don't like that. Like, I love assigned seating. I don't like this open seating. I might get a middle seat or I'm in the middle of a family of five and they want me to change with them. No.
Yeah,
I got to have a sign.
I can't do it. I got a window seat.
Or it's anarchy.
Yeah.
It is anarchy. That's exactly how it feels. I remember one time I fly United almost all the time, and this woman was sitting in my seat, and I go, "I'm sorry, I like aisle seats because I'm a frequent peer, and I don't like to have to get up and like inconvenience other people." Yeah. And she goes, "Does it really matter?" And I'm like, "Yeah, that's why I picked that seat."
Yeah, that's why I picked it. That's why I tell them, I don't care what reason you got. I don't care if it's your grandmother and she has like a stroke. I don't care.
Yeah.
You're not getting my seat.
You are tough.
Yeah, you're not getting my seat. That's why I got this window seat.
To be fair, if I was walking down the plane and you were sitting in my seat that I thought, or like you took the window seat and I wanted to switch with you, I just keep walking. I take one look at the seat and it's like,
right, yeah.
And it's like, something about it says Humboldt Park. I'm just gonna keep walking.
Don't mess with that big, you know. No.
Did you happen to lifeguard? Did you grow up in Norwood at Humboldt Park?
Yeah.
Did you go lifeguard?
Yeah, at the park there, Humboldt Park
at
pool.
At the lagoon?
Yeah, the pool.
Oh, at the pool, not the lagoon.
No, they got the pool.
Well, there's a lagoon there, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah.
Because they had to have beach guards. They would have with a rowboat and everything.
Yep.
Is the lagoon back, do you know? Because they drained it.
No idea.
They drained it a couple of years ago, but I think they tried to bring it back.
I know they had the coolest thing. Every winter, they had this sign, just like this thing that came over the loudspeakers, and the guy would tell them not to go ice skating there because it would be like, you know, don't skating, thin ice, be warned, warning, no skating. And he'd do it in Spanish, and it was like white dude, because he'd always be like, atención, atención, por favor, yellow, peligroso, muy peligroso. Every year, this went on every year, and I thought, they got Puerto Ricans living here, we could do it, we could do the thing, you could get a Spanish speaking person, atención. Attention,
but wasn't it more fun this way?
Yes. Yeah, it was more fun.
Listen to the white boy try to speak Spanish.
It was hilarious, dude.
Humboldt Park is one of those communities that I think is a mystery to people who don't understand Humboldt Park, right? They kind of know it's the Puerto Rican.
But when I grew up there, it was a whole different thing because, I mean, it was all Puerto Rican. It was all this, I mean, you know, Lily's Record Shop and Libro Kenya. It was all Puerto Rican. And then years later, now when you go back, there's like sushi houses and coffee houses. And you're like, what happened to my neighborhood? We used to be thugs. And we used to call the white people victims, and now we call them landlords. It's a whole different place now.
And Logan Square is like that. Yeah, I mean, Logan Square was sort of a.
Yeah.
It had beautiful buildings. You have these gray stones, and now you go. It was run down for a long time.
Yeah, I was in the Logan Theater when they had the shootout, like way back in the day, where everybody was shooting left and right. I was there watching the movie, and it made the movie better.
Was it Dirty Harry in 3D?
No, no.
Yikes!
I think it was Bambi.
Yikes. Wasn't there was a riot in the 60s in Humboldt Park.
Yeah, 70s.
It was the 70s?
Yeah, yeah, the Puerto Rican riot. Yeah, I was there. Yeah.
Allegedly, my neighbor was the one that kind of incited it. He was, well, we'll talk about that off the air
sometime. Yeah. It was a really, like, bizarre day. It was really crazy. And I mean, Division Street just got shut down because they went crazy. They busted all the windows. They went to Woolworths and stole the underwear. You know, when you steal underwear, you're like, this is a rough day.
Didn't it start with someone getting shot in the foot?
Yep.
And set the whole thing off?
Yeah, actually started with somebody smoking a joint. But that's,
oh, really?
Yeah, that's how it all started.
And they were getting harassed by the
PD, and it all got, it just went crazy after that.
Well, and that's the thing, is that the city has these communities that often get kind of shut off from the rest of the landscape.
Yeah.
And it's easy to go, well, let them take care of it. And Humboldt got gentrified. Do you think that was for the better or for the worse?
Well, it started out a Jewish community.
I didn't know that.
It was all Jewish. Yeah. Way back in the day. And then Puerto Rican started moving in there and it became Puerto Rican. But when I was growing up there, it was like crazy. You know, I mean, it was crazy neighborhood. And now when you go back, it doesn't look the same. You're like, freak out because I swear to God, there's like sushi houses and, you know.
Coffee houses.
Yeah, coffee on Division Street, which it was all Puerto Rican restaurants and, you know, and bars and clubs. It was all, and now it's different.
Yeah.
And, yeah, gentrification changes everything.
It does. We are talking to Alex Ortiz. How can people find you online?
Latin Laugh, LatinLaf on Twitter and Instagram. And then, of course, Alex Ortiz on Facebook and Alex Ortiz.
It's Alex Ortiz. When we come back, let's see what we're going to do. We're going to wrap up the show and then turn it over to Nick D. We've got a lot of texts coming in. Before I go to the break, I will read some of those. We got from the 301, actually from the 630. I want to get to that one first. Someone said that they, hold on a second. They're, Oh, Patty is brave. I've spent years hiding and faking my lack of common music knowledge. It can be exhausting.
So you put it right out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I didn't until, I mean, I have no reason to be. It's just, it is what it is. Yeah. I'm not trying to fix it. Yeah. I am aware being made fun of. No, I'll be sitting
in
a bar.
That sings every song that comes on the radio all the time.
Well, I'll sing it. I just don't know the words of who sang it. I'll sing at the top of my lungs.
Right.
I have this story about a boy I dated in college. Let's call him Tom because that's his name and that's the bit. But Daniels. But I was in my own car. I had an 86 Honda Civic, and I was singing at the top of my lungs, driving my own car. I was like, what's love got to do? Right. Scott. And Tom turns to me and he goes, who sings this? And probably the only time in my entire life I was like, Tina Turner. And he goes, why don't we leave it that way?
Oh,
and I almost drove the car into a ditch because I had good insurance.
Right.
I was like, this is my car. Yeah.
I'm not kidding. I do that to people literally all the time.
Do you really?
I know.
Not a girlfriend.
But that's like old school.
My girlfriend?
Who sings this? Let them sing it. That's old school.
It's a classic. It's a classic. I do that to my girlfriend all the time because she likes to sing. And, like, she got a beautiful voice, but she got really kind of bad taste in music.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so I do that to my wife. She's got, like, a really hard right cross. I don't do that.
From the 815, Patty, every time you play Pal of MK, what is that one? Pal of MK. Oh, Patty's lack of a musical knowledge. Patty's appalling. Right. Patty's appalling lack of musical knowledge. I want to crawl into my phone and hurt whoever is playing the game with you. I hate them laughing at you, but I can't because I'm laughing my ass off. No, please. I really am okay with it, Squat. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
so.
No, apparently you are.
I have, you know.
But it's appalling. The lack of musical. It's appalling. Like, how did you not know that was Bob Seger? Like, I'm sitting here going, it's Night Moves.
No.
I'm sitting here doing Night Moves.
Nope, I don't. Nope. Bob Seger is just not a name that there's some, and you would be appalled by the ones that I do know. You're like, really, Cher? If I could turn back time, that's something that's in your mind. You got that one? Yeah, it's sad. When we come back, let's wrap up the show. Nick D is up next. We're hanging out with Alex Ortiz in the Allstate Skyline Studios. You're listening to The Patty V Show, and I thank you for that.
We didn't have time for it. We didn't have time to talk about it. It did not make the show. It had to go. Maybe next time.
That is so cute.
That's Jason Skaggs, our former production director here at WGN Radio. I often have news stories that I just don't have time to get to during the show, and I want to make sure we get to this. A used hot dog napkin has helped crack a 26-year-old murder case. The Star Tribune is reporting that it's a fascinating account of forensic evidence that in 1993, at a Minneapolis murder scene, this Jerry Westrum had eaten a hot dog, wiped his mouth, and tossed the napkin in the trash. Once the coast was clear, the cops grabbed the napkin and sent it in for testing, get it to the lab. And we're imagining this is how the dialogue went down. However, it was tested against crime scene evidence collected decades ago. Leaves no doubt now that he killed Jeannie Childs in a Minneapolis apartment. This is the thing. Sometimes it takes a long time for these things to catch up.
So he ate a hot dog and then he got busted.
Yep.
Awesome.
But this is like, but it took them this long to be able to match the DNA with him. It's a, man, this is a crazy story. Anyway, so let's, they were able to tie that one up. A Girl Scout had the smart idea to put, how do you say his name? Aquaman?
Jason Momoa.
Yeah, Jason Momoa.
Jason Momoa.
I have such a man crush on him.
Yes. Would you buy a box of Girl Scout cookies?
I would.
With his picture on
it? Yes, I would.
A Girl Scout, she's been able to outsell everybody in her troop by putting...
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious about the pending lawsuit that's definitely going to come.
Dude.
Yep, she put a picture of Jason Momoa on the...
instead of samosas, it's Momoas.
Right.
It's Momoas. That's what she did. She's a genius.
This is a genius.
Somebody call this girl. Get her a job.
Yeah, I love this. Anyway, so that's she was able to outsell everybody in her troop. Now, I asked you if you knew who the Banana Splits were.
Yeah.
And not only do you know who they are, what did you say to me?
Their names are Ringo, Bingo, Drooper, and Snork.
La 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 la. So you know how a lot of things that we liked when we were growing up are popular again, or even things from like the 80s and 90s, yeah. Like Sabrina the Teenage Witch is now a series in a much darker way.
She's not the same Sabrina, right?
Well, the characters of Banana Splits are getting a revival on Sci-Fi, and it is they are now murderers. They are they're
murderers.
It's a horror movie version of the Banana Splits.
Just wrong.
A little boy and his family who attend a taping of the Banana Splits until things take an unexpected turn and the body count quickly rises.
The Banana Splits are actually murderers.
I'm so ticked off that I didn't think of this.
That's crazy.
I could have got a picture deal or something at Sci-Fi.
Now my whole childhood doesn't even matter anymore.
What's happening?
Banana Splits are killers.
Look at this breakdown. Oh,
dude,
boy.
The Scooby-Doo gang are thieves.
Scooby! The law's on my God.
Oh,
I can't do it anymore.
Snagglepuss is straight. What's going on now? What is happening in the world?
I don't want to ruin everything for you.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
And in Tennessee, a police department is seeking volunteers to get drunk. They want to.
What time does it start?
They're looking for six volunteers to drink alcohol of their choosing. So you can pick whatever you want. They need them to work the full day, and police will pick up and drop off the volunteers at their destinations and make sure that they are safe. The training class, known as a wet lab, will take place in June, and they're not telling us much more except the volunteers can expect top shelf alcohol.
They're not telling us.
It's for a DUI training.
Yeah, but I mean, DUI? Now we're just going to get you here, get you drunk, and not tell you why. In the police station. I'm not going. I'm Puerto Rican. We don't do stuff like that. That's just stupid.
That's bad. That's entrapment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We want to go drink with the cops.
And because we are picked up throughout 38 states and Canada, you can call Sergeant Parker at 615-382-7007, extension 204. Again, that number is 615.
Show up to the police department to get drunk, you need to go to jail. You're supposed to be in jail.
They're not telling you to show up drunk. They're telling you you'll be paid to get drunk.
Get drunk and cops just doesn't work. I'm sorry.
Alex, it was a pleasure to hang out with you. I've got to turn the station over.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Everyone follow Alex Ortiz on Facebook or Latin Laugh.
LATINLAF.
.com and on Twitter. Thank you so much, Alex.
Thank you so much for having me.
We won't make it so long before you come back again. Now you know where I am. I'm not hiding, I swear. Don't forget, all of our shows are podcast at WGNRadio.com and on iTunes, iHeart, TuneIn Radio. And you can subscribe to my podcast. We would love to hear from you and see what you think. And a lot of great texts tonight. Thank you so much to all of our listeners.